This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter, at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
By their arguments, ladies and gentlemen, you may know them. When people begin to introduce the non sequitur, you know you're on to something.
Oh, we are on to something. We're on to being live with a cult of Dusty. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I will open up like I usually do with a couple of things that we have coming up tomorrow. I have gotten Nunbot ready, okay? Nunbot is in the live chat now, and she's got her wrench ready for tomorrow based on what happened last time. And I think this is going to be a little bit more contentious than last time. Last time they were talking about some scientific stuff. JF contacted me and said that he had an argument that slavery was a net positive for African Americans. So we found someone that, which wasn't hard, let me tell you, that wanted to debate that. So we're going to give them the opportunity tomorrow to do that. I have watched JF's live streams and went over the keywords that are in the live chat that are just atrocious and Nunbot's ready. So if you are a mod on this channel and you are free tomorrow, we hope that you will join us to watch for what's going to take place. Steve, are you nervous?
I'm not nervous because I know that the mods are going to be able to take care of it, but I know it's going to the initial part of it is going to be devolving pretty quickly in the live chat. So I hope they get all that taken care of, and then we can have a nice civil discourse and people live chat can actually talk about the topic. Because I'm predicting we're going to get obviously people that are going to come over to cause problems, and they should be eliminated right off the bat. So
fuck that guy.
I agree.
Damn right.
Not a fan.
No, not a JF fan at all. Nope, don't want nothing to do with him.
He's been controversy after controversy after controversy here lately. It's like you can't stay out of the controversy realm.
That's all they do. They just want attention. It's working for them, though. You know, all the racists know where to go to find their racist content. So,
you know, and that's the funny thing. I watched with him, I watched the thing where Andy Worski put out a couple documentaries about him. And from what I gathered about those documentaries, he was trying to say that JF was maybe moving away from that. And so
it's not racist enough for them.
Well, exactly. And where we have the issue, like here, like last time he was on, he came to debate on some genetic things, nothing to do with the race realism thing. But the people that he bans off of his chat follow him everywhere that he goes and like try to cause chaos and just say like all these egregious things in the chats wherever they go. So that's where we have the issue, is the people that like hate him with a passion coming in, just leaving all of these crazy things.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Trash tends to attack trash. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, do you have anything before we, that was the only thing that I was going to say before we,
I don't really have anything, but I just want to let people know that I'm going to be actually hanging out with Dr. Hugh Ross this weekend. I'm going to be taking pictures, and I'm going to be covering an event called the AMP Convention by Reasons to Believe with Dr. Kenny Rhodes, Dr. Ken Samples, and Dr. Hugh Ross. And I also got a date with an old friend that I know from high school. So, yeah, buddy.
What's his name?
You're going to ask that. Damn it. Her name happens to be Vanessa. But, you know, I guess that could be a guy's name, too, if the parents
tell Vanessa, I said, what's up?
Oh, yeah, I'll be sure to Vanessa do that. You're going to be our primary thing of conversation.
You're going to get so lucky.
Let me find out. Are you? Oh.
Well.
Oh, it's like that, Steve. No wonder you've been extra chipper here lately.
No, she's definitely female. She's definitely female. But I'm not going to be talking about called a Dusty with I'm sorry.
I wouldn't either. So. Don't bring me up. I don't blame you.
I told Dusty before we started the show here that when we have big named members from the skeptic community come in, it tends to be a lot of people in the chat that try to come in and say, well, this is why God's real, or this is how I can prove that they're wrong about this. So we're actually going to give you the opportunity, if you want to come in and try to convince us that you have what it takes to prove that God exists. And Dusty, you want to let them know about how you said you were going to change your mind?
Hell yeah. I'm totally open-minded. My mind is logical, which means I examine evidence and base strictly upon the evidence, decide what is more probable to be true than not. So if you provide evidence for me that I already have and it's logical, then I will change my mind immediately. I can't help but to. So I'm open-minded.
Excellent. So tag us in the live chat if that's you and you think you can make that case. Dusty, why don't you take a second and introduce yourself and let people know what it is you do and why you do it.
Oh, God. I'm Dusty Smith. I make goofy videos on YouTube in my underwear that some people enjoy and most people hate. And I'm an atheist. I run the Humanist Society of Mississippi Animal Sanctuary here in Mississippi. And I fund it by making my videos. And I was a Christian for 33 years. And eventually, I researched it and realized I was full of shit. And so I watched The Amazing Atheist one day, and I was like, holy shit, if that guy can do it, I can fucking do it. And I started doing it, and I've been doing it for 10 years now. YouTube's been my job for 10 years, and still going.
That's amazing. I want to let's talk about, since you brought it up, let's talk about your animal sanctuary. Tell us about that. I think that's fascinating.
Well, it's still really small, but basically I go to the shelter, and we take the dogs that are in danger of being put down, and we give them a good home. So now we have 7 dogs and 11 cats. I bought this big, big 3,600 square foot house, and we used to be an apartment complex. So we live in one little small part of it, and we have the other part sectioned off for the animals. And we just spend all our days cleaning up piss and shit and taking care of them.
I do that at home all the time, but I don't mind. We all love animals here, so that's like one of our commonalities thing. We are like totally pro animals and taking care of pets. And
yeah.
I love how'd you get into that? Well, I was in Denver, and love puppies. I was living in Denver, and I was kind of, I was kind of a douche, I guess. I wasn't really feeling good about the direction my life was going, and I thought, I got to change things. I got to be better. And I was like, well, what can I do to be better? And so I was really into humanism and the spread of humanism. So I thought, hey, well, why don't I move to Mississippi and start an animal sanctuary and then under the name of humanism so I can spread humanism around Mississippi, which I think is the place that it's probably needed the most because it's the most religious state. And most people hear humanism, they don't really understand what it is. A lot of people think it's evil. So I thought if I did good deeds around here, I could spread a good positive message about it. And so that's what I work on.
And has that had any positive change in terms of the misconception there?
Yeah, I talked to my neighbors about it and stuff, and they know that I'm a good guy now. And so they know I'm an atheist, a lot of them. So they had their preconceived notions about atheism. And so when they see that I actually take care of all these rescue animals, it makes them say that, You know, they're not evil people. They're not evil baby eaters. They're not Satan worshipers. They're just normal people like everybody else. So hopefully I'm making a good impression and changing things, but I have no idea. You never know.
I'm sure you are. But what kind of dogs do you have there now? What kind of?
Well, they're just mostly mutts because that's mainly what people take to the shelter. We got a lot of big, giant black dogs because no one wants to adopt those, and they usually put those down first. So mainly that's what we have, giant black dogs.
And there's just my last question on the animal thing. Is there somewhere, because I know people ask this, is there somewhere that people can go to get the information, like if they want to donate anything towards, you know, either monetarily or food or something like that?
Basically, I spend most of the money I make on my Patreon, patreon.com/cultofdusty, goes to the animal sanctuary. And I don't really have a website for it or anything because I just basically show the animals at the end of every video. I basically show another animal that I've rescued. And I tried to do stuff on websites and stuff, but no one ever goes to it. So I just basically advertise it in my videos instead. It seems to work out a lot better.
Yeah. Okay. So let's jump into your YouTube career. Cause you have, like you said, you've been doing it for about 10 years. What video did the Amazing Atheist do that you watched and said, I have to start doing this too?
I can't even remember, to be honest with you, since so long ago. I think I read an article about him that was saying how well he was doing. And then I think I had a friend that showed me like a short clip of his, but it's not like I was a giant Amazing Atheist fan or anything. And so most of the videos that really were inspiring to me were the videos that Richard Dawkins put out on evolution. He put out a bunch of evolution videos for children. And I was never taught. I grew up in Mississippi in a Mississippi education, and I was never taught any of that stuff. And so I needed these videos that were dedicated to basically UK children. They were more advanced than me. And so, but watching these children's videos helped me understand just how misled I'd been about the whole thing. I was like a Ken Hovind disciple. You know, I believe in Earth creationism and all that stuff. So, you know, he basically debunked all that shit for me, and he was a big inspiration for me. I'm talking about Dawkins.
Dawkins, yeah. Not Hovind. Yeah.
Not Hovind. Nobody's ever learned anything properly from Hovind and the history of humanity.
I know vegetables prove the existence of God.
Yep, broccoli.
Fine trees and elephants.
Always broccoli. So what was the first video that you did? The very first video, what was it about?
The very first video I did, no one ever saw because it was so horrible. I was so embarrassed about it, I immediately deleted it. But the first one I ever aired on YouTube was called Faith is Retarded, which is not a very politically correct thing to say these days. But 10 years ago, it wasn't nearly as bad to say the word retarded. Now you're not supposed to say that anymore. But it seemed to be pretty popular. It kind of spread fairly quickly, a lot better than I thought it was going to. And it kind of took off from there.
So was there one video in particular that kind of catapulted you to where you in the following that you have now? Or was it like just a series of as you kept loading, your audience kept growing kind of gradually?
Yeah, it kind of gradually grew. I mean, the first video did remarkably well for considering no one knew who the fuck I was. And so it kind of put me on the map. And you get a little foothold in, and then your stuff can spread. And so it kind of took off from the very beginning, actually.
Excellent. You are not only known for your YouTube videos, but there's another interesting thing that I hear that you're well known for. Can you kind of tell us what that is?
I know where this is going. A bunch of stuff. I do too. I know what you're talking about.
And I'm going to take a break at this moment. I'm going to come back to this, and when you're done.
You're going to miss the story? This is the greatest story ever told. This is better than the Jesus
he's
story.
He's being facetious.
I don't want to.
You don't want to hear it? You don't like facials? How can you not like facials?
Tell
don't
me.
You
watch porn? Well, not receiving, no.
No, not receiving.
Well, I don't think so.
Of course.
Okay.
Just let him tell the story.
Anyway, I'll tell the story very quickly. Anyway.
This is a story.
When I was 20, I started some of the first pay sites on the internet. There weren't very many porn pay sites, and so I had one of the first ones. And I figured out how to manipulate the search engines back in the day. They were really primitive, unlike Google today, which is very modern. There was like AltaVista and Hotbot and all these other really old search engines that were really easy to manipulate. So basically, I figured out how to take over all the keywords on the search engines and forward to my website. And so I took over all the main keywords everybody was typing in for sex, and I forwarded them all to a facial website. And it basically dominated the first page of all the search results on the search engines. And so the porn industry went and was clicking around on what was popular on the search engines. And they saw that all led to facial websites. And so they thought that the public was really fucking into facials. And so after that, pretty much every video they put out had a facial in it. Like before that, it was like coming on the tits, coming on the ass, you know, cream pies. But after that, it was like facial, 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 facial. And it continued for a really long time. So I sort of ruined porn for a lot of men who don't like that.
You started the facial revolution.
I accidentally did that. That was kind of my kink when I was young. So didn't mean to
do that.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Sorry, guys.
Could you do something like that today? Like, is that easily done today, right?
No, it's impossible. Google makes that impossible now, so can't really take over the same way I did, unfortunately.
So people talk, put in, like, you know, horse fucking or something is not going to go to the non sequitur show. You can't do that?
I'm definitely going to do that, totally. Horse fucking non sequitur. Got to be connected forever.
You think it's first a joke? We actually had about 3-hour-long discussion last night on Twitter about the moral efficacies about anal fucking a horse. I'm telling you, I don't know why people have.
Where did you land?
I dropped. Yeah.
Are you pro or against horse fucking?
It was bizarre. I'm not so a fan confused. Of it.
Not a fan. Okay.
But no, seriously, frustrated atheists.
Not a fan of horse fucking.
It was the most bizarre discussion. And if anybody was looking into it who didn't understand it from the very beginning, they must have been going, "What the hell are these people talking about?"
I've seen that video of that dude that was killed by the horse. The one that Joe Rogan loves to play.
Is that a true story?
Yeah, it's a true story. Yeah. The horse mounts the guy and he goes, pushes the head, and then the guy goes, "Too much? Yeah, too much. The horse just wrecked my insides and killed me. That's way too much, dude." But, you know, don't fuck horses. That's the moral of that story. It's pretty simple. Don't let a big horse cock be shoved in your ass. You know, nobody has to tell you that, it would seem like.
To me, that's natural selection, I think.
It is.
What happened with that?
Darwin Award winner.
Is a natural selection. I'm just curious though, Steve. Did somebody come down like pro?
Well, horse. They were,
don't knock it till
you try. They were talking about animals and if animals can give consent and if it's rape or if bestiality is immoral. Me, I have to appeal to my own moral efficacy issues, and I think we should be stewards of animals and anything that causes harm, cruelty, or anything like that causes a problem with the animals, the security of the animal, other than the fact we have to kill them for food. I get that, right? There's some obvious exceptions. But just to do things for an animal that can harm them, I think is immoral from the get-go. So having sex with that, to me, is animal cruelty. But they're trying to advocate, well, you know, it's no harm, no foul. And then somebody was saying,
what if they're really into consent? It?
Well, somebody brought that up, dolphins. Somebody actually said that. Well, what if the dolphin
is going to rape you?
Yeah, they will. So it's like, dolphins, oh my God, man. I don't know where to go with this.
I had someone just send me a text message and said that facials are still one of my fetishes. I said, I'll tell him. She said, thank you. So you have
people to thank you for your service. So. No problem. Had to help.
I'm not sure where to segue from the facial thing into the
where's Godless Bitch? She was supposed to be co-hosting.
She said that her and John got in the middle of something. She was gonna be here, but she said to tell you hello and that she was gonna miss you. Yeah,
I wanted to talk to her. She was like bragging that she got me banned from MythCon, and I wanted to know why the hell she did that. That seemed like a dick move.
Oh well, if you're Casey, if you're watching and you're finished with what you're doing, tag me and I'll bring you in. She wasn't supposed to be here. She just got
the whole
thing
is actually how I got to really get to talking to you. Actually,
yeah,
I never really. I mean, you've been my because you blame me, but you apologize and I accept it. It's a done deal. But I had you on like Twitter and Facebook before for, well, I don't know if I had it on Facebook. I definitely had it on Twitter, but we just kind of passing in the night kind of thing. I mean, I knew who you were and you may have known who I was, but I never had any communications with you, but yeah, that whole deal was like, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I know nothing about this. Well, I have nothing to do that group.
She told me that she ran a podcast on the non sequitur channel. And so I assumed it was the non sequitur podcast. That's an honest mistake, but I guess she has another podcast on your channel. That's not this, but
well,
I
didn't know. Her and Kyle we do one on the channel.
Yeah, each week we do an episode with Casey. It was last night, actually. Yeah,
opinionated.
I sent her a message, and Casey, if you're watching, send me a message, and I'll send you a link to jump in. While we wait on that, though, your time here in on YouTube has went from. How would you describe yourself? Like, would you describe yourself as a skeptic? As are you? On the team pro SJW, anti SJW. You know, there's two, those different factions. Where would you say that you land on that?
Well, I used to be a skeptic, but now the skeptic community has kind of changed, in my opinion, into be this anti-SJW circle jerk that I'm not involved in anymore because I just don't think that's the most important stuff for us to spend all our time talking about and fear-mongering over. So I kind of got away from that, but I'm kind of in a weird position because I'm too woke to be with the anti-SJWs and I'm not woke enough to be with the other side. So both sides kind of don't really like me very much. So I'm kind of in the middle, I guess, of all these people that hate me. So I'm just a regular progressive liberal, I guess I would say.
Whenever you're in the middle, you get fucked. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually I enjoy that, but not in this way, to be honest with you.
It all comes back to that.
Well, right now you're in the middle of a pile of eyes, so just saying.
Lucky man. Right.
Devil's triangle.
So
the eyes don't meet.
In your time here, have you noticed a sort of because let's talk about the when you got banned from you were banned from Twitter. Recently, yes.
Permanently banned from Twitter, my shoe on heads fan base. The free speech wars got me.
What happened there?
You know, she has like 150,000, 200,000 followers on Twitter, and she blocked me, and then she's talking about me behind a block, which is, in my opinion, incredibly cowardly because I can't see what she's saying. I can't defend myself. And so all I have is tons of like thousands of her fans just shitting on me, and I have no idea, you know, what they're saying, or I can't defend myself. So I said to somebody else, I think she's being a cowardly bitch for blocking me and talking about me. And they permanently banned me for saying the word bitch from Twitter. So it's the most ridiculous thing. And of course, she was asked.
That's what got you banned?
That's what got me banned. Bitch? Sure was. I called somebody. I didn't say it to them because they had me blocked. I said it to somebody else. I said it about them. So it wasn't targeted harassment or anything. They just, her fans went and they mass flagged.
Do you want people to call me on Twitter? I mean, bitch is nothing nowadays. That's ridiculous. And by the way, all cards on the table. I happen to like Strew on Heads videos. I've never talked to her. She's the white whale. I'd love to have a conversation with her. And I think if she is
I would too.
Blocking people, then talking about them, I find that to be, you know, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's just bizarre that it was calling somebody a bitch will get you deplatformed.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. But, you know, I get blamed everywhere because people, a lot of them, conservative, anti-SJW crew, they hate me. So they go around everywhere I am and they false flag everything I do to try to get me banned. You know, I got 11 separate 30-day bans on Facebook in 1 year. And, like, I can't stream right now on YouTube or upload videos because they false flag my videos and I have strikes on my account now. And so the only place I can really stream videos to right now is Facebook. And they had me permanently banned from Twitch. I can't even play video games. So, you know. It sucks, but oh well. What you gonna do? I'm gonna try not to play the victim and bitch about it too much. Just gotta deal with it and do the best you can.
Did you watch Joe Rogan's thing last night with Jack Dorsey and his other?
I saw some clips on Twitter, but I didn't actually watch the whole thing.
It's
but yeah, I saw Tim Pool and some clips they played.
Yeah, and you know, I will say that Tim Pool did a really good job of asking some like really tough hearted questions. And to me, I came away looking at it differently than I thought I would have, because it seems to me that there are some instances that people are banned that maybe the examples they used, you would think just hearing, you know, a base level, what people are saying, maybe they should have gotten banned. But then going back and hearing the different ways that they kind of look at things and how they go about deciding what is okay to say and what isn't, those are some questionable things on there for sure. I mean, it's not
well. The flag exists is incredibly easy to abuse. That's the problem. I mean, there's no way, like when you get banned, there's no way to protest. There's nobody you can contact to talk to say, you know, what the fuck. And so I guess the problem I have is when they pretend like it's only conservatives having this happen to them, because it's not, you know, and it was me and like I'm doing a podcast with Tim Blake, who is also permanently banned from Twitch. And so it happens to a lot of liberals, but it's not really because they're targeting conservatives. It's because the flagging system is incredibly easy to abuse and people are doing that.
Yeah. Destiny too. Destiny is another example of somebody that was permanently banned from the liberal side. Do you get concerned about that with YouTube, or have you had any sort of instances where people have tried to flag you, or you've had videos that have been taken down unjustly?
Well, like I said, I'm right now I can't upload videos, I can't stream, I can't do anything because of the false flagging. And they had a video taken down for hate speech that had literally nothing to do with hate speech. It was about how I used to believe in conspiracy theories and I don't anymore. So, but you can't, you know, there's really nobody to talk to. There's nobody, you can appeal it, but the appeal process takes so long, and usually they don't even watch it. They just say, okay, well, we're still going to ban you anyway. I've had probably, I don't know, there's 30 or 40 videos that I've done that have probably been removed already. They remove all kinds of my shit all the time. And then my entire channel has been demonetized for 3 years, and they won't let me put ads on anything. So, you know, you just got to get used to it. You got to adapt, improvise and adapt. Otherwise you die out.
You're demonetized now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every video is automatically demonetized on my channel. When I monetize it, it's automatically. And the only videos that are monetized are ones that have copyright claims on them. And then they allow the people that copyright claim to put video ads on them. And they make all the money, and I don't. But I don't. I think last year total, I made $600 off my YouTube. So, yeah, I'm not making anything off of it anymore.
And why do you think that is? Like, was there something that that you said maybe that started that, or they started like, you know, trying to do that, or just as a whole?
I think they went through and they blacklisted some controversial channels, and mine made the list somehow. That's the only thing I can assume, but I really have no idea. No one's ever explained it or told me.
There's
I hate to speculate. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
they don't give you a way. They don't give you any kind of recourse either. There's nobody, like you said, there's nobody that you can sort of talk to about that. And because I mean, what you have a huge fan base. What are you sitting at now? You're over what, 200 some thousand?
It's like 250,000, but a lot of those are like old fans. They're no longer fans of mine. Like back in the day when I was more into the shitting on the anti-SJWs and that crowd, I kind of purged a lot of my fan base. I kind of got embarrassed a lot of my fan base, so I just told a lot of them just to fuck off. So a lot of them are still sticking around because they don't realize that I don't care about them anymore.
Oh, now that's interesting. What happened there?
Well, I mean, a lot of things, but like I realized that I was attracting a crowd that I was embarrassed to be associated with. So I just changed my material and I changed, you know, the way I did things because I don't want to be associated with those people. You know, I had a group on Facebook that had like 25,000 people on it, and it got hijacked. Somebody took it over and basically booted me and all the other men's out of it, took it over and turned it to an anti-Dusty channel or anti-Dusty group. And I was just so embarrassed by the behavior of all those people in that group that I was like, I have to change, man. Something has to change. I can't be associated with these people anymore. So I basically just kind of broke from the anti-SJW crew and just started doing my own thing. And I've been much happier. You know, my fan base now, I'm not embarrassed of anymore. They're a much higher quality of people, I think.
That's good that you're able to see that. I think in a lot of cases, you see the opposite. You see people who maybe they'll start doing content and that certain type of audience will come in to watch. And they start then pandering more so to that crowd. Like, you know.
Yeah. Sargon, that's the Sargon story. You know, he used to be a Bernie Sanders supporter, but he realized if he shit on anti-SJWs continuously and then went full-blown conservative, that he could pander to his audience and become really popular, and that's all the fuck he does all day long. How can you shit on liberals? How can you pwn the liberals? That's the fucking all his content is.
So what kind of content were you doing that initially brought that kind of crowd in?
Like, I was doing videos about my problems with Black Lives Matter, and I did a video about how I think body positive feminism is bullshit. And I did a video with the Amazing Atheist that had Sargon and Armored Skeptic and Chris Reagan in it about, I think it was towards feminism. So just stuff like that, anti-feminism, anti-Black Lives Matter, shit like that.
I'm glad that you were able to see that and change that. Like I said, most people wouldn't have done that. So what kind of things are you focused on now today? Like what are you discussing these days?
Well, I still primarily attack religion because I think that's still, you know, one of the most important things to talk about. And that's kind of my field of expertise since I was a Christian for 33 years and I was like in training to be a preacher and I was leader of my youth group and stuff. So that's still, you know, I talk about what I know, but also like I go after the silliness that the anti-SJW crowd does because they basically turn into what they've accused the SJWs of doing. They blow shit out of proportion. That's absolutely ridiculous. They get upset over movies. Like right now they're fucking head over heels crazy about the new Marvel movie, whatever it is, Captain Marvel or what the fuck that is. Mm-hmm. Cause she's a woman. Yeah, they're going goddamn nuts over that. And like the Gillette commercial, they're just silly. You know, they do exactly what they accuse the SJWs are doing. So, you know, I got to them a little bit, stuff like that. Jordan Peterson, let the shit on him. You know, just Donald Trump, the usual.
What I find is if you point these things out, you're accused of being bigoted. You're accused of not understanding, not being woke. I'm not an anti-SJW. I'm not an SJW. I'm like you. I'm more in the middle. I see there's reasons for both. One of my good friends is a feminist. We don't see eye to eye on everything, but you know, I adore her. She's a great friend. But I've noticed some things that if you just even say something against the narrative that's being put out, it's like a swarm, a locust, just descend
on both sides. Exactly.
Both sides. It doesn't matter. It's SJ or anti-SJW. It doesn't matter. So they each have their own collective swarm and hive mentality that if you say something that they're offended by, they're going to let you know in mass. And I don't mind them doing that. But when they start using dishonest techniques to shut you down, like flag your videos or censor you, that to me is where they've crossed the line and they are no longer somebody I want to have anything to do with. If they just disagree, that's one thing.
That's what Shoe on Head did to me. She made a video where she took shit out of context to try to shut down my criticisms of what they were doing by basically just ad hominem-ing me. So that's why I would love to talk to her on one of these video things. If you ever guys ever get her on, make sure you have me on because I got questions.
She's never answered me.
Jesus is Lord, by the way, is coming on. Steve, did you get him the link?
Yeah, I just sent him the link a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Right. Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Hells yeah.
He's
testifying.
He's sort of a staple in all of like this section of the community. He goes around to several different of the creators' videos and tries to explain why we're wrong about our atheist position. So
I'll be open-minded about it. If you got evidence, I want to hear it. I mean, because if he's right, if there really is a heaven and a hell, I definitely don't want to be tortured for eternity. So let me know about that shit.
You said while we went on him, you said that you were a Christian for 30 plus years. What was it that made you sort of, what brought that doubt on to where you said, this isn't real anymore?
Well, like I said, I was a Kent Hovind disciple. So me and my best friend, Steven, are really into that for a while. And then he started watching the Evil Science Channel and learning about things like evolution, like an asshole. And he started basically challenging me and on my beliefs. And so basically I set out to prove him wrong, to shut him the fuck up. And I became one of the leading atheist speakers in the world. That's kind of how that ended up. I figured out he was right, and I was fucking wrong and stupid, and educated myself on the subject matter.
Nice. Usually that's the case. With me, I think it was I watched an Aaron Rye video, and he was talking about slavery in the Bible. And I just remember when I watched it, I said, there's no slavery in the Bible. I've never heard of this. You know, because why would we? You know, it's not like, you know, on Sunday, the preacher's going to be talking or focusing in on that. So hearing that from an outside source, I remember going, he's lying. Like, he's blatantly lying to people. And I went home, and son of a bitch, there it was, just like he said.
I mean, just the other day, I was talking to an aunt of mine who was 60. She's 65 years old, been a Christian her entire life, and has supposedly read the Bible a lot of times. And I told her about the slavery in the Bible, and she was like, that's not in there. And so I had to like get out my little iPad and look it up for her and show her the scripture. And she'd like never heard it. 65 years of being a Christian. I was like, you see, this is why you're a Christian and I'm not, because you don't know what the fuck you're talking. I didn't say that, but I kind of said that.
Yeah, you're right. Did she change her opinion, or did that in any way?
No. This is a woman who told me that she likes Trump because she thinks Trump is the most honest president we've ever had. So truth and facts don't matter to these people.
Okay. Yeah, truth don't matter. Man. Okay. Yeah,
I saw a picture on somebody had posted this on Facebook, and I had to stop and just stare at it for like 10 minutes. It's a picture of Trump in the White House signing a paper, and Jesus has his arms around Trump. Like it's a painted picture of Jesus hugging Trump, and I'm just like, this is actually ironically poetic. You have the biggest lie in history with his arms around the biggest liar in history. So I thought it was
perfect.
Well done.
Made for each other. It's like
Trump
peanut butter and
chocolate. Trump is about as much Christian apology as Jewish. Yeah.
His favorite.
Okay, do we have
his favorite verse? It's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians.
Like, oh my God, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Do you think he'll win again?
Oh God. I didn't think he would win the first time, so I hate to say no. I mean, I hope not. I hope we fucking come to our senses. I just don't see how it could happen again, but I didn't say that I could happen the first time, so who the fuck knows with this country?
Do you have a favorite of somebody that's running on the Democrat ticket so far?
I think Bernie is the favorite, and I still, you know, he's got his problems, but I think overall he's probably the best one to back at this point, unless somebody comes out that's doing better. So I'm stick behind him for now.
Yeah, I guess, I'm with you there. Dave, while we wait on Jesus Lord, can you pull that video that I sent you up last night about the witches? I want to get Steve and Dusty's take on this. I found a video on Sunday nights. Me and Mr. Atheist do a show together where we tackle very strange videos that people put out. That just like the week before, we did Steven Anderson, where he says that there is no such thing as you can't rape your spouse, and his reason is that when you say "I do" at the altar, that is consent from that day forward.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, for real. Like, for real, fuck that guy. He said that those are his exact words. That when you say "I do" at the altar, that is consent for from that time till the day that you die, and that there is no excuse, none whatsoever, not headaches, not any of that stuff that would prevent you from honoring your commitment to your spouse. It was disgusting. I mean, it was just absolutely disgusting. Yeah. But I found this. I found this guy. This past Sunday, we did a video where we responded to this particular, not Steven Anderson, but this new guy. He did the 10 reasons why atheists don't believe in God. And as you can probably imagine, they were all completely wrong and made no sense. Exactly.
Amazingly logical. I already know.
Of course. But, yes. But watched them.
You like logic, motherfucker, right?
I do love logic. That's my catchphrase. Best word in the world. I was like, what is the best word in the world I can use to make a catchphrase out of? Logic.
I want to see how you would apply it to this guy. Dave, can you go ahead and play the first little bit of this video?
Why witches are coming out the closet? Why witches are coming out the closet? We see in the Bible time that how the witches, they was hiding because Saul, the first king, put an edict out to massacre, to kill all the witches. Now there are witches on YouTube, they're coming out the closet and say they are proud to be a witch. Why is this, preacher? Why is this, prophet? Because we live in the last days. We live in a time where Satan letting people.
Okay, well, let's stop right here for a second.
Already have a problem with it. He just answered the question, why witches are coming out of the closet. He said they used to murder them, and now they're not murdering them anymore, so they're coming out of the closet. Yeah, no shit. Send to the end times. More, you're not murdering them anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, as you can imagine, we're not going to watch the entire clip, but I do want you guys to see what happens in the middle, because he gets a little bit more, you know, angry as he's realizing these witches are coming out the closet, and he's just not okay with that. By the way, let me ask you this question. You know, us gay people, we come out of the clothes closet, obviously, because that's, you know, that's the thing. That's our stereotype. Do you know what kind of closet the witches come out of?
Tell me.
The broom closet. All right, Dave, play the rest of it. Go to the middle, Dave, like halfway in.
And set them up for the great fall. But I'm praying for you, witch. Witch, I'm praying for you. Yes, witch, hallelujah on YouTube. I am praying for you. So while witches are coming out being afraid, they're not afraid no more. But I rebuke every witch that watching this channel. The blood of Jesus against him right now. So someone asked the question, why witches are coming out of the closet? Because they don't fear God anymore. Their fear has become zero toward God. Witches coming out of the closet? Witches coming out of the closet because they know that they don't care about their destiny. Yes, they don't care about death. They don't care about the devil. And they think they're an entity by themselves, but they're worshiping Satan. So witches are coming out the closet. People are not being secret about being witches. They're coming out boldly saying, I am a
witch. And by the way, Jesus Lord, you don't have to have a camera. I put Dave's Skype name in the live chat. Add that to Skype. We'll bring you in that way. But you don't have to have a camera. We're waiting on you. Okay, so he is now putting out there that these witches obviously are everywhere. I just have one question. Are we having a witch problem? Like, is this really a thing? Are witches like coming out of literally the closet everywhere?
Well, they have been trying to do spells against Trump, so it's definitely a big issue. They're clearly working.
That's how he got voted in. Magic, witchcraft. Yeah.
They didn't do a very good job, apparently.
Haven't people have said they were witches for like thousands of years? I mean, this is nothing really new. I mean, they've had the whole New Age movement where, you know, people thought, you know, they call themselves witches. When I grew up, I had friends that were witches. I mean, I used to have like Black Sabbath, all of my books and my peaches, and I write in Theban, which is the witch's alphabet, and runic and all this other stuff. It's been around. It's nothing new. But
that's true.
You know, they're not being executed as they were, you know, in Salem a couple hundred years ago kind of thing. So yeah, I think these guys are just nutters. I mean, they just need something to rally against. And if it's not witches, it's going to be gays. If it ain't gays, it's going to be blacks. If it ain't blacks, it's going to be Jews. If it ain't Jews, it's going to be something. They're going to pick something that they need to find offense with to rally people against. That's how these hate groups work. I mean, it doesn't matter what they pick. They're going to pick something. And it just happens to be witches. Because the people I knew that were witches, they were cool freaking people, man.
Yeah, they need a common enemy to fight. I would be surprised if more witches are coming, you know, out these days, because religion is dying, and so people, you know, are going to other parts of spirituality. Now they realize Christianity is bullshit, so the numbers probably are growing. And I think witchcraft is bullshit, but it's a less harmful bullshit than religion, you know, regular religion. So,
I think it's important that we just let me read a couple of the titles from this pastor's videos, because I think they're fascinating. By the way, his YouTube channel is Life Journey Glory Church, and ever since we started doing this thing on Sunday with him, somebody in the live chat changed his ministry to Life Journey Glory Hole, which every time I read this, that's all that I see now. But here are a couple of his latest videos. Too Much Sex Will Kill You, Part 2.
Good, what a way to go. That's how my dad died, literally.
Asking the prophet, by the way, he calls himself the prophet. That's his name. It's not reverencing. This is the prophet.
That's not arrogant at all, is he?
Yeah.
Asking the prophet about witchcraft hexing and reversing it.
Wait. He can reverse hexes for money?
Yes.
Oh, shocker. Yeah, nice.
How to identify wizards and warlocks.
Hello.
Must need to know that. Must know.
Wait, do you want to know my witch name? I've never told anybody. I actually have a witch name that I used to go by. It's actually a derivation of my... Well, people have witch name, and people have things that they kind of go by. But I never really actually told anybody before, but my middle name's Henry, as people have found out recently. In Hebrew, or one of the words for that is Henoch. So I used to be, people used to, you know, kind of call me Henoch. So it was kind of my witch name, because when I was back into the, I was a practitioner of the cult, but I would have like a pyramid, you know, thing, and I'd have amulets and the whole Greater Key of Solomon. I didn't really, quote, believe in it per se. I don't know. It was weird. I mean, weird should happen.
That's dorky.
But I thought it was cool motif. I love Black Sabbath. Don't mess with me.
I've actually tried witchcraft before.
I've never got it to work. So yeah,
I haven't either, but I have a story about it. If you want to hear my witchcraft story real fast.
Is it like it's like the facial story? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it actually is very, very similar to that story. So anyway, when I got to Christianity, I didn't want to stop believing in a God immediately, because, you know, I figured even if Christianity wasn't true, there still had to be a God out there. Somebody had to make all this shit. So I started exploring other spiritualities. And one of the things I started exploring was witchcraft. And so I was like, well, who knows? Maybe this is true. I was always told this is evil, but they told me a lot of shit was evil. Maybe it's not. So I got into sigil magic. So what sigil magic is you're supposed to draw, you're supposed to think up like a sentence of something you want and take the first letter of each sentence and make a sigil out of it. And then it's sex magic. So when you're having sex, you're supposed to put that somewhere where you can see it. And as you're orgasming, you're supposed to concentrate on that sigil. And then your energy from the orgasm is supposed to make that come true. But here's the thing. Oh. I'm super smart. So I'm like, hey, I masturbate way more than I have sex. So I just put this on my monitor. And every time I'm masturbating, as I orgasm, I will fucking look at this signal, at the sigil, and I will put all my energy into that. I'm my orgasm energy into it. And so I did that for like a week, and it didn't come true. It didn't happen. So I tried. I tried to masturbate my way to success, and it did not work.
Worthy effort. Worthy effort.
I can get behind that, actually. I can get behind that.
It was
that
a fun experiment.
I'm totally okay with that. Even if it doesn't work, you know, you still like at least you're trying.
I won either way, so
yeah, it was a win-win. Do we have Jesus Lord? Is he in? I just want to make sure that he added. He is.
No.
Well, I see. No. Oh, he tried to log in. Okay, that's all him trying to log in. Never mind. Oh, so you're going to bring him in through Skype. He was trying to get him come in through. Yeah. Yeah.
And you said you wanted me to bring up the browser. Are you talking about the guy again, or
what browser?
You literally said bring that up. And, oh, never mind. I'm looking at yesterday's messages. Forget I said that.
Oh yeah, that's cool. So Dave, talk to me. What are we? Is he coming in? Has he added you? What's the deal?
I'm sitting here on Skype waiting for him.
Okay, Jesus Lord, if you're in the oh Lord, what question do you have for Dusty Russian Vids? Do you know who Russian Vids is, Dusty?
It sounds familiar, but not really.
Okay, Russian Vids, you can leave it in the live chat while we wait, and I will ask him that. Dusty, when you my first video that I saw of yours, because I think this is a great story, and it literally had me in tears, was the story about you had and what reminded me of this is you just brought up the masturbating thing. You had another experience with masturbating that was not so good, I guess. Because
so many of my stories revolve around masturbation. Weirdly, I don't know why that is. I might have a problem, I think.
But this, to me, though, like on a serious note, like yes, this is a funny story, but there's also a very, very, very dark, almost creepy part about this. Because after I heard you tell the story, literally, I would not do that if it was in a room with like windows for like a week. Like I just avoid that because all I could get in my head. But tell people what happened.
I still to this day have like I have blankets covering all my windows still to this day. That left such a mark on me. That was a story about when I first got the internet back in the day. I was like AOL and shit, and I first realized that there was porn on the internet, which was a goddamn amazing, best day of my life. But it, you know, it took like an hour to download every single picture. So you just kind of sat there and ooh, there's her eyes, ooh, there's her nose, and eventually you got some titties and could work on it. But and nipple, yes, score. So anyway, I was sitting there, you know, just beating the shit out of my dick one night, and I heard a noise behind me, and I turned around, and I didn't see anything, and so I went back to it, and I started beating off again, and then somebody knocked on my door, and so I was like, who the fuck could this be interrupting my goddamn masturbation? Fuck off. But I went to the door anyway, opened it up, and there was a young guy there. He's right my age. I was probably 21, 22, and he's probably about the same. He's a nice-looking guy, and he was like, hey, is Joe here? And I was like, Joe? What the fuck are you talking about? Anybody named Joe here? And then he was like, well, what are you doing? I was like, what the fuck do you mean I'm doing? Like nothing, just hanging out. And he's like, yeah, you having fun? I was like, what? I was like, go over there across the street and look for Joe or something. He ain't here. And I shut the door. So I went back to masturbating. And then I heard noise behind me again. Turned around. The dude's fucking staring in my blinds watching me masturbate. We make eye contact with each other. And he goes, oh, shit. And then he runs off. So I guess he knocked on my door thinking we were going to have butt sex or something, which, you know, I mean, fine. If I was into that, he should have just said something. But it was really creepy. That night I had to sleep with like a knife under my bed. I was thinking that guy was going to sneak in my window and, you know, tickle my butthole or something. Scared to death. That's the story. That's the whole story.
None of your stories end well.
No. That's a good ending. A pretty good ending. He left me alone. I didn't get my butt tickled. So it's all good.
You didn't get your butt tickled. How good of an ending could it have been?
That's true. Okay. It could have been better. I could have been more open-minded. Yeah. We probably would have had a good time if I'd have been open-minded. But no, I was a Christian. I was like, ooh, gross.
Think what you missed out on. Whole new world of opportunities, man, for you.
I know. It would have been way better than masturbating. I could have had him blow me while I was waiting for the videos to download. It would have been awesome. But nope. Missed out.
Steve, I'm gonna get Russian Vids. Take over for a second so I can get him this link real quick and
I don't know where do I go from tickling buttholes, Kyle?
That's what you get for having me on the show.
Oh my God.
You asked for it.
You know what? I don't have any stories like that to think of. The only thing, you know, but Kyle, before we went on air, Kyle was talking about, I guess there's this a group of men that are straight for some reason they get drunk and, you know, they really don't care as much, you know, who's taking care of them or lending a helping hand. I just never had that happen in my life. So, I mean, I've had opportunities, don't get me wrong, but alcohol doesn't change my fundamental attraction to women. I don't see how that even happens. I mean, obviously I think people might have a propensity for it. I mean, you're about what, 20% gay, you said, you know, you're that ballpark, you know, 20%. So maybe it just alleviates that inhibition, even though you said you're not an act upon it. I'm not even at like a 1 or 2%. I can't imagine that being.
You can't tell another guy's handsome. Like you've never seen a guy that thought I can tell that guy's handsome.
No, I do that all the time, dude. There's some beautiful men. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
So you're like 1% gay. That's 1% homosexual, right there.
Look at like Blair. You know Blair White. She's fucking gorgeous. I'm not. I could say these things.
Blair White's not a man. What are you talking about? Blair White's a woman.
Blair White's a trans.
I mean, she's a woman though. She's not a man. She's a woman.
I mean, she's a trans man.
Trans women are women.
Yeah, I mean, gender wise,
not men.
But I mean,
yes, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, you're talking about okay. He's talking about actual. I would say Lorenzo Lamas. Then how about that? He's definitely a man.
How about
from
Thor?
His early years.
Play Thor. That dude's fucking hot as shit.
No, I'm not. Thor? No. No.
God. Come on, that dude's fucking hot, dude. Come on now.
I've said before, Lorenzo Lamas in his Renegade days, I don't know what it was, and Sean Connery with 007. You know?
Sean Connery. Yeah,
and Nathan Fillion. Fillion from Firefly. He's
Firefly.
On a new show. Yeah.
Young Paul Newman. You know, you ever seen a young Paul Newman? Like a cool hand Luke.
The blue eyes.
God.
You like that?
That dude's hot as fuck.
Peer into those blue deep pools of gorgeousness.
Take me, Paul. Dip me in salad dressing. Take me.
Have you watched Nathan Fillion in he's a new show called Rookie.
Rookie.
It's really good. It's really, really good, actually. But yeah, in Firefly was a very attractive man, to say the least. And why are we talking about men? I don't know.
We're talking about how gay you are.
Yeah, 1%
right
gay,
now.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'm a 1%er now. So wait, does that mean there's like 1% of the human population that if they hit on me, I'd be like, okay, whatever.
That's right. You're drunk enough anyway. If you're drunk enough and Nathan Fillion was around, he was like, let me suck on that thing. You'd be like, hell yeah, Nathan, get on
this. It's Nathan. Yeah, but that's only because I could say that I did with Nathan Fillion. I mean, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, matter. Dude. I have to think about that. Damn. Wait, I got to think about that. Would that be bragging rights?
Hell yeah, it would. Nathan Fillion took my load. Hell yeah.
I don't know.
Man, he's bragging everywhere about that.
Maybe.
I got all up in that Firefly.
Yeah, because I happen to like this show. I mean, that was one of the greatest shows on TV. I mean, Fox screwed up when they canceled that. I mean,
yeah, that fucking Ripper chick. Good Lord, had a big crush on her.
Which one? The psychic girl?
Ripper, the younger. Ripper, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, she still looks good now. I actually liked. What is her name? She was plays the prostitute. She's been in so many different shows. She was recently in Deadpool.
Yeah, even the mechanic on that show was hot. They were all hot. Whole show was fucking hot. Yeah,
they're beautiful people. Yeah, Hollywood full
love
of beautiful
that.
People.
Love that show. Can't believe it only lasted one season. What a fucking crime. That show should have been on. Should still be on today.
Well, did you watch Serenity?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the whole series.
That's one of my favorite movies. Yeah.
Joss
people
Sweden,
have not watched it. They're missing out if they have never watched Firefly and Serenity. Now, I just hit 2%. God damn it. See, this is the gay agenda. See this?
Growing, yep. We're getting to you.
It's rubbing off on me, and that's not, I don't mean it.
Can we get your first blowjob any second now?
The one thing that pissed me off about Serenity is that they killed Wash. Fuck.
Did kill Wash.
Why'd you give a spoiler away?
Yeah, that's spoiler alert, dude.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, even the tall black chick who's married to Morpheus, even she's hot. She's married to Morpheus in real life.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
I'm still trying to. I'm still getting this. But one thing that you that I think would be cool to talk about is the stuff that's going on with people who say like the mainstream media is trying to, or they portray one side as favorable and the other one side as the other, like with the MAGA hat kids and. With the Jesse Smollett situation, what are your views on those two issues? Did you believe Jesse when he first came out with
you
that story?
Isn't his name Jesse? Do you pronounce it Jesse? Yeah. I thought you pronounced Jesse. But anyway, no, I did not believe him.
Maybe
the whole story was bullshit from the very beginning. It was obviously not true. I mean, it's ridiculous. He goes out at 2:00 in the morning, all bundled up because it's fucking freezing outside, and there just happens to be these racist MAGA hat white guys walking around with fucking rope and bleach, looking for somebody to assault. And they also happen to fucking watch his stupid show. You know, these white MAGA hats are really big fans of Empire, I'm sure, enough to recognize him when he's all fucking bundled up. and attack him. It was just stupid from the very beginning. I didn't believe it, but I didn't say anything at first because, you know, I was waiting for the evidence to come out. But then, of course, as soon as it was proven that it was a hoax, I came out and said, yeah, it's obviously stupid. And the MAGA hat kids, I made a video about this. I thought they did very little wrong, and the entire thing was entirely blown up a portion. And the guy who was really to blame there was the Indian who was acting like a total fucking asshole. And the black Israelites, too, who were actually acting like total fucking assholes, too. That's my opinion.
I didn't know about that after the fact, so I couldn't say what my opinion was because it was already determined that he fabricated everything, and that's what I found out about it. And I read the news every day, so I don't really read the entertainment stuff that much. I must have missed that in there. So I like I said, I can't say if I believed him or not. But as soon as it came out that he fabricated and I looked into it, I was like, yeah, this is complete horseshit, obviously.
Yeah, and I was kind of disappointed with how the liberals reacted about that, too, because a lot of them jumped on his side and was, you know, supporting him when it was pretty obvious if you had a skeptical mind at all, it was probably not true. And you should probably wait till more information came out before you jump on the bandwagon. But, you know, a lot of people are reactionary and they jump on it. And, you know, it was kind of embarrassing to watch.
What about the MAGA hat kids?
Well, like I said, I did
a video on that.
Yeah, I did a video on it. I think the obviously it's already been proven the Indian guy's a liar. So much of what he said was a complete lie. And it's pretty clear he saw the MAGA hat kids the same way he saw the Charlottesville rally people that were out there screaming, Jews will not replace us. He just sees those hats and he automatically thinks there's some kind of evil racist who are out there, you know, protesting against minorities and black people. But they weren't. You know, they were just waiting for their bus. They weren't the same kids that were in Charlottesville. They were just a bunch of high school kids. And yes, they were idiots wearing MAGA hats and out at a pro-choice rally, or an anti-choice rally, rather. So that doesn't make me like them. But as far as what they did nothing to him. And he basically walked up to him. He was the adult in the situation. And he was not acting like an adult. And instead of going and confronting the black Israelites who were the adults there, who were the ones starting everything, and confronting them, he walked up and he confronted other people's kids for no reason, which is none of his fucking business to do. So anyway, I thought he was totally in the wrong, and I thought the fact that everybody blew it out of proportion and made the MAGA hat kids look like they were fucking evil, and people were literally trying to destroy their lives. You know, they were trying to contact their colleges and make sure they didn't get in and shit, just because the kid was standing there. It was just so overblown and ridiculous that it was really embarrassing, in my opinion.
Skyout, you have the link. It's in your email. I just sent that to you. Just click that, and that will bring you in. You also which I thought was a really good video, actually. You did a video on something that was surprising to me, something that I didn't know. And it was your video that actually I was informed of this. But Chris Pratt and his funding of a anti-gay church, right?
Yeah, the Hillsong Church. Basically, Hillsong's a real popular church in Australia. It's the most popular mega church there. And it became so popular, they started basically building franchises. And some of the franchises are owned by Hillsong themselves. But it's like McDonald's, you know, some of the franchises are privately owned. Most McDonald's franchises are privately owned. And so some of the Hillsong churches are privately owned. But Hillsong is basically, you can consider it almost like a denomination. Like if you say that's a Hillsong church, people are familiar with the Hillsong denomination, so they know what to expect when they go there. Just like if you say that's a Baptist church, people are like, okay, well, I know what to expect if I go there. That's a Catholic church. I know what to expect. And so Chris Pratt goes to one of the Hillsong churches in Los Angeles called the Zoe Church. And yeah, at the top of the chain, the co-founder of it was a pedophile. And he molested a bunch of kids. And then his son is the one that's in charge of it right now. He runs the entire Hillsong organization right now. And he took the money, the hundreds of millions of dollars that he earned from running Hillsong, and he used it to cover up his father's pedophilia. Nothing ever happened to his father. In fact, he drew a pension from Hillsong to the day he died, this pedophile. And it's rich people like Chris Pratt who go out and make millions of dollars and give 10% tithes to these churches that get kicked up to the sky that pay to cover all this shit up. And yes, it's an anti-gay church. It's one who in the past has sent gay people that they found out who are gay to gay conversion therapy. And still to this day, gay people are not allowed to be in any kind of authority in the church whatsoever. They found a gay guy was in charge of their choir. They sacked him immediately and they put out a statement saying gay people are not allowed to be in any position of authority here. So yeah, it's an anti-gay church that Chris Pratt is supporting and a part of and going out in public and lying and saying they're not an anti-gay church when they absolutely are. So shame on you, Chris. I like you, but you got to be better than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what kind of wrecked my world. Cause I used to like, I love him in Parks and Rec and think he was great in, you know, Guardians of the, yeah, it's he's amazing. So that was kind of, I don't see how you can be in, especially in Hollywood, when you're dealing with people of
either the gay community or, you know, just you're in the middle of like liberal America there. Like you're probably around people, costume designers, you know, make all sorts of aspects on a movie. Like how could you knowingly donate to a anti-gay church? That's crazy to me.
Probably because he doesn't know. He probably didn't do any research behind going to the church or, you know, doesn't look at anything, period, and had no idea. But he does now. And if he still goes there now, he can be blamed because he fucking definitely knows. Now, Ellen, Ellen made him well aware of that. So,
oh, I love Ellen. Going, hey, Sky Out.
Hey.
How's it going, man? How you doing?
Good. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah. This is your first time, right?
Yeah, this is the first time on the Non-Sequitur Show. Yeah, I've been looking for to speak to Aaron Ross sometime soon. I wanted to talk to him about the birds and dinosaurs and how he's clearly wrong on the evolutionary part of that.
Clearly wrong.
You don't want to do
that. Yeah, that sounds
you don't want to do that.
Yeah, so not just wrong, but clearly wrong. Okay, I would like to listen to that. That's good.
And a little bit stupid, clearly. If you ask me, but...
what does Aaron know?
So Sky, I thought it would be good to bring you in here and maybe you could give us the evidence that convinces you that however you want to go, either that God is real or that Christianity is the true version of faith that people need to be following. What's your strongest sort of evidence that there is something else out there?
Okay, so basically when you ask me what is the strongest evidence out there, we're talking about God in the biblical sense and biblical theology. So God would be, in a sense, if we're talking about logical absolutes, we're talking about the existential transcendent intelligibility and intelligence. So God is transcendent, so and there's an intelligibility and intelligence behind him. And therefore, the evidence that God exists, you can see how through creation, through his existential and transcendent intelligibility, and his intelligence is the reason why I believe in God and having a personal revelation from God through Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes the atheists, they assert that there's no proof that God exists, but the only problem is that the atheist cannot logically make that claim because in order to state that there's no proof for God's existence, the atheist would have to, like, know all alleged proofs that exist in order to state that there's no proof for God's existence. So since he cannot know all things, he can't logically state there's no proof for God's existence. At best, an atheist can only state that all alleged proofs he's seen thus far have none have worked. He could even say that there's no proofs for God's existence, but however, that means there is a possibility that there is a proof or proofs out there that he simply hasn't encountered one yet.
Let's not go too far so we can take each piece at a time. But I'm glad that you used the word logic because we actually have somebody here that that's his thing. So let's respond to what you've heard so far, and then I'll let you
I don't even disagree with what he just said. Like what he just said, I pretty much agree with. I mean, you can't know everything, so it's possible there's proof of a God out there. You know, I don't know, but I've never seen any, so I have no belief in it. And if you have some, I will look at it and I will examine it. But, you know, no one's ever shown me any, so get with the evidence.
There you go. Sky out.
Yeah, when you say get with the evidence, the reason why I'm not an atheist is because I simply cannot find a rational, defensible way for moral reasoning. And the fact of the matter is that our core were moral beings, and those that deny
God. Let's stop. Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there real quick. If tomorrow you suddenly started thinking there was no God, if you suddenly believed tomorrow there was no God, would you go out and murder and rape and kill people? Would you do that?
You're misunderstanding the argument. No, of course I wouldn't. What we're saying that in the absence of God, there simply isn't any absolute standard of right and wrong. And what you call moral values are spins off of Darwinian evolution by natural selection.
So everything. Okay, but my question is, let me finish. Why wouldn't you? If you realized there was no God tomorrow, why wouldn't you go out and rape and murder and kill people?
You said if you realize there's no God tomorrow, why wouldn't you rape somebody?
Yes.
Yeah. Because
what's stopping you? Why wouldn't you do it?
Because basically you're saying that your morals come from Darwinian evolution by natural selection. It's not the point whether you would do it or not. The point is the act wrong? And in the absence of God, there isn't.
You didn't answer the question. Again, tomorrow, if you tomorrow, if you stop believing in God, if you suddenly realize, hey, there's no God, would you go out and murder, rape, and kill people? And if you would not do that, why would you not do that?
Of course, I wouldn't. Just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean you're not. Because what we're saying that is that you're trying to say that in the absence of God, how come I'm not a murderer? Well, let me clarify the argument. We're not saying that. My argument is that the belief in God is necessary in order to be a good person. We're not saying that. The argument has nothing to do about believing in God. The argument is that with standard of right and wrong, and therefore what we call moral values are just spins off of sociobiological evolution. So my point on the eight moral values are you're unwilling to accept the idea that anything exists beyond nature. That's begging the question in favor of atheism. That is presupposing that atheism is true without any good evidence. So you have to be logically consistent. And when you arrive at a circular argument, is your only reason for believing that atheism is true is that you already accept the conclusion. That's what you're doing when you say that atheism is true. When you say there's nothing beyond nature, there's no supernatural. That's presupposing that atheism is true without any good evidence. So without
I'm
God,
not supposing atheism is true. I just haven't seen any evidence, so I don't believe it. It could be true.
Go ahead, Dusty. Go ahead, Dusty.
I'm just saying, like, if there's no evidence, I can't believe it. If you have evidence, provide it. It doesn't take me, you know, it's very simple.
Well, that's
where's your evidence?
That's the thing.
Provide the evidence.
When you ask for evidence, your question assumes truth, which assumes logic, which presupposes reason, which assumes knowledge, which presupposes an absolute standard who's God. So that's
Skyler, he asked you a question a minute ago, though, that you didn't answer. I want to press you for an answer on it. Why would you not do those things? The key there is why. If you woke up tomorrow and you knew that there was no God, give us an answer on why you would not do that.
Well, I'm a Christian, so speaking for an atheist, I wouldn't do that. They have no basis to not do that, and that's what Christians are saying. So for me to answer the question, if I woke up tomorrow morning, I'm answering the question. If I woke up tomorrow morning and I suddenly believe that there's no God, when I run around and murder people, the answer is no. I wouldn't do that. But you're telling
why?
Me how come?
Why? Yeah, answer the question. Why? God damn it!
What?
Fuck!
Would you? What makes it right or wrong?
Fucking question.
What makes it right or wrong that you will not be running around killing people? You obviously think it'd be wrong to do so. Would you not?
Yes, of course.
You're not doing it. Okay.
Why?
So what are you appealing to? Why is it, what makes it wrong if there's no God then?
That's what Christians are saying. In the absence of God, there is no absolute.
Dude, why can't you not answer the question? It's a very fucking simple question. The fact that you can't answer it makes you look like a goddamn weasel. Just answer it. Yeah. Why would you not run around and kill people if there was no God? It's because you have a set of morals that is not based on the fucking Bible. It's not based on God. You know, due to empathy. Because you have an imagination that allows you... I'm talking. I'm talking. You have an imagination that allows you to put yourself in other people's shoes and know what they're going through, which is empathy. And you do not treat people the way you do not want to be treated, so you would not go out and rape and murder and kill people. That is why. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with any of that fucking shit. It's because you have empathy. And if you're saying that you don't have empathy, you would go out and rape and murder people if there's no God, then you're a fucking psychopath and you should be ashamed of yourself. So which the fuck is it?
So this is what happens. Which one is it? You just asked me. When you abandon God and moral reason, you're moving away to self-referencing. You're presupposing what you're saying is true without no evidence. You're inventing these false definitions and abandoning moral reason. So
then why would you rape and murder people if there's no God? Answer the question. Simple question.
Yeah, please
why wouldn't
the question? You're using a bunch of words valid to try to get out of this question, and we're not going to let you get out of it. Stop with the lingo and just answer the question honestly.
Yes, you cannot have sex or murder people in the world if you don't believe in God. That's wrong.
What makes it wrong?
Why?
To kill? Yeah, what makes it wrong?
Is it wrong? What makes it wrong is that on the sociobiological point of view, on atheism, everything becomes relative, deterministic, and basically subjective to say that if I go out tomorrow morning and hurt someone, there is no right or wrong. So when you press me for this answer, in the absence of God, there's no measurement for right or wrong in this question. So
that's not the question, though.
So you're a psycho. So you're a psycho who would go out and murder people tomorrow if you didn't believe in God. Is that what you're saying?
No, he said he would.
Dusty's not asking you, what's the motive, what's behind it? I'm asking you personally, not atheists as a whole, not Christians as a whole. You personally, if you got up tomorrow and there was no God, why would you personally not go out and harm someone?
because basically that's a fallacious argument, because I would not hurt somebody.
He's not giving you an argument. He's asking you a question.
God damn it, dude. Seriously.
Hold on.
This is why I'm not a Christian, dude.
We know that you wouldn't hurt somebody for fun, and that's the point. The point is that even if you knew that there was no God, you would not harm somebody, even if it for fun. Why would you not do that? Like, why you personally would you not harm someone for fun? You personally.
Let me explain it to him in a way that he can't get out of. Let me explain it to you where you can't get out of. You've answered the same thing 5,000 times, and you haven't answered the question. So let me explain it to you in a way you cannot get out of. Cult of Dusty is doing what's called grounding. Okay, it's called the grounding problem. He's grounding morals in empathy. This is the same thing that Wittgenstein does. He grounds objective morality, or just even morality, in compassion and empathy. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's a very good moral way to look at things, okay? If you say something is wrong, if you say it is wrong to kill somebody and you don't have a God to appeal to, what are you appealing to say that it is wrong not to kill? He's appealing to empathy. What are you appealing to? Not what the atheist is appealing to.
Well, we're saying that without God, there is no objective moral value. Good.
Let me explain something to you real quick. It's not looking good for you on your position when you can't answer a simple question. I don't want to know what Christians, I don't want to know atheists, you personally, as Sky Out, the individual, why would Sky Out not harm someone if there was no God?
Well, not that's the question. What would stop me from hurting someone?
That's the question.
There is nothing that would stop me. Like, a psychopath hurt people all the time. There's nothing.
Wait, you just said you wouldn't go out and kill. Wake up your mind. You're not going to.
So you would?
Want to kill you. If you won't, why won't you?
Under your definition, there was nothing wrong going out and killing people. That wouldn't be wrong.
His definition. No, we're asking about your morality.
Yeah, when you say about mine, of course it's wrong.
Doug in the live chat has a good way to phrase this. What's the second best reason not to harm someone other than appealing to a deity now for you? What's the second reason you shouldn't harm someone? God number one. What's the second?
The second reason not to harm someone is that there's a profound difference between torturing someone for fun and loving someone for the rest of your life. There's an objective standard that we go by, and without that objective standard, there's no measurement for the question or answer you're trying to oppress. It's like, let's say I say the word monster. Everyone has a relative definition of the word monster. So it's become subjective, deterministic, and relative and subjective when you ask me, would I go out and hurt someone in the absence of God? The answer is no, of course not. But you said why? Because basically there is no moral law to differentiate between what's right and wrong. So when you say, ask me why, if there's no moral law to differentiate between right and wrong, and there's no good and there's no evil, what is your question? So basically, you have to differentiate.
Let me explain what his question is. The question is
that
it does not matter at all. It does not matter at all that you're trying to say, I don't understand what you're doing, and I don't understand why you can't answer just a simple question. We're not talking about a group as a whole. We're not talking about whether there is a right or wrong anymore. We're not talking about if objectives are or if morality is subjective or objective. We're talking about why you as an individual would not harm another person. It's like somebody asking me, Kyle, why wouldn't you harm somebody? Well, I believe that you should treat others the way that you want to be treated. I don't want to be harmed, so therefore I don't think I should harm other people. It's a very simple concept. Very simple.
Okay.
Can you give me an answer?
I'll use that answer too. But when you say that answer, I'm a good person.
Thank you.
So God's not necessary then for your moral code, right? You're still moral without God, right?
Yeah, everyone believes in God except those who suppress the knowledge of his revelation of wickedness. You believe in God.
Well, thank you for telling me what I believe. I appreciate that. You definitely know what's in my head more than I do. You're real smart.
He's running a because he just quoted that. What's his name? When he said, so what is your question? He's quoting, and I can't think of his name. People, live audience will have to tell me. He always says that. So what then is your question? Are you running a script? Okay. Are you reading something? Literally,
we've gotten over the morality issue.
I come from high quality. I don't read anything.
Okay, we've gotten over the morality issue. Is there a question that you would like to ask Dusty about his? Because he's had a very successful career here on YouTube in terms of debunking a lot of religious.
I have to go momentarily because this is a quick invite. But I just want to say
I don't blame you.
No, that's fine. But on the atheistic view, it seems to be on the naturalistic view, basically everything is ultimately destined to the destruction and heat death of the universe. And as the universe expands, it grows colder and colder, and its energy, eventually all the stars will burn out, all matter will collapse into dead stars, into black holes. There'll be no life, no heat, no light, only the corpses of dead galaxies and stars expanding into endless darkness. And that's the thing. So when you speak about an absolute logic, unless absolute logic exists, you can't have an absolute logic for your standard of measurement, what is right and wrong, without an absolute standard. You're basically saying everything comes from evolution. If everything comes from evolution, then it wouldn't be wrong for me to go out and hurt someone. That's absolutely not wrong. What is the standard of me not hurting someone? So if you went out and hurt someone, that's not wrong, right?
If you went out and hurt someone, treating other people like you want to be treated. It is wrong. If you believe that you're a psychopath, if you believe that without a God you would run out and hurt people, then you're a fucking psychopath.
You don't believe that's absolute. So basically, if that's not absolute, there's no God, there's no meaning, there's no purpose. Going out and hurting someone is not wrong. There's no God, there's no meaning, there's no purpose. So why would going out and hurting someone?
I don't think you're understanding the terms you're using with absolute. I think you're using terms. What you think that?
Well, you see, your view doesn't have any moral dimension. It's subjective, relative.
I don't think you know my view at all. Trust me, you don't even want to go into my ontology.
You're saying Dusty doesn't have any morals?
I think your view of atheism, we're just relatively advanced primates. There really isn't any objective right or wrong. It's just evolution. It's a mindless, unguided process. They're just empty claims, empty assertions, not real arguments. They're just generalizations that you can't substantiate or validate your subjective opinion. All I'm hearing is you're a prejudice. I can't do nothing with that. There's empty claims, empty assertions that you can't back up. Without God, there is any absent standard of right and wrong, and therefore what we call moral values are just spins off of sociobiological evolution. So when you ask me what happens when you abandon God and moral reasoning, it's a contradiction in terms. You move away to self-referencing. You're presupposing what you're saying is true without no evidence, inventing these false definitions, and you abandon moral reasoning.
Hold it right there. Dusty, how would you respond to someone saying that we can't have morals without God?
Oh, well, it's ridiculous. Our morals come from our ability to imagine, okay, which is a great evolutionary advantage. Which is a great evolutionary advantage because it allows us to imagine doing things before those things kill us, which is great for our survival, which helps that evolutionary trait get carried on to the next generation. And that evolutionary advantage has allowed us to have empathy, which allows us to put ourselves in other people's shoes to understand what they're going through, and thus to treat them in the same way we would want to be treated, which is where my moral code comes from. It doesn't require any kind of God whatsoever to make that happen. It's just basic, simple, normal empathy, like a normal God.
But it wouldn't be wrong for you to go out and hurt someone, right? That's not wrong.
Yes, it would be. Yeah, it would be wrong to go out and hurt people, whether God exists or not. And if you believe that it's not wrong to hurt people, if a God doesn't exist, then you're a psychopath. Look, here's the thing, dude. I used to be a Christian, and I used to think like this guy. Like, I used to think, if there was no God, I'd be a serial killer. I'd go out like a hitman and just kill everybody, because why not? But then I became an atheist, and I realized, I'm telling you what I believed. I'm telling you what I believed. I believed that if I wasn't a Christian, if I didn't believe in God, that I would go out and murder people, because why wouldn't you? And then I became an atheist, and I realized that my morals did not come from the Bible. They did not come from my belief in God. They come from empathy. They came from my ability to place myself in other people's shoes and not want to treat them poorly. It's as simple as that. Yeah. You believe your morals come from the Bible, but it absolutely does not. Because if it did, you would be a much worse person than you are fucking now, because the Bible is goddamn evil. The Bible has sex slavery, fucking tells you to beat your children, bash their heads upon the rocks, you know, shit like that, dude. If you believe the Bible was the source of your morals, then you don't have very good morals to begin with.
And Skyle, let me tell you, it's the issue is not whether or not it would be right or wrong, like harming somebody. That's not the issue. Would it be right or wrong? The issue is, would you do it as an individual? Like, whether it is right or wrong is not up for, I don't think has any bearing on this. It's whether or not you as an individual would choose to go out and harm someone. And if you wouldn't, why? And the why those morals.
It's very much, very much right or wrong. I disagree. It's very much what is right or wrong.
That's fine. You can disagree, but I'm just saying in this conversation, we're trying to get at what would make him not do if he says that he wouldn't harm somebody. There's a reason for that, and that would be the morals. It wouldn't be whether in the greater context it would be right or wrong, because it could still be right. Let's say this. It could be right to go out and harm somebody. Like, that's a totally fine thing to do. I still wouldn't do it. And that's what's at play here. The fact that I still wouldn't do it in the face of it being right is what's what the issue is. That would be
what is the foundation?
He said he won't do it.
Empathy. Empathy is the foundation. Empathy. The ability to put yourself in other people's shoes and treat them like you want to be treated. The golden rule. The oldest fucking rule in all of religion. Well, there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons to care, but you can look at it just from a purely selfish level. To live in a society where you don't go out and murder other people and kill and rape them also means that they're less likely to come murder and kill you. From a completely selfish standpoint, it's better for society to be like that. But also, obviously, empathetic reasons. You know, you care about other people and you want to see them do well and not be hurt because you understand what that's like because of your imagination.
But I don't think you guys are understanding what he's saying, because what he's trying to say is he's not going to run out and kill somebody. He is saying that the atheist worldview doesn't have a standing to say that's not right or wrong. He just wouldn't do it, right? But he doesn't say there's any reason to say it's wrong or right one way or another. Is that what I'm getting from you?
Yeah, but that wouldn't matter.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It's a non sequitur, isn't it?
Doesn't
follow.
From his perspective. But I mean, then you have to ask him though. You're not going to do it. What are you appealing to other than okay, I'm not going to do it. Why won't you go out and do it? There has to be a reason that you think makes it wrong. What do you think makes it wrong if God doesn't exist?
Well, exactly. It wouldn't be wrong.
So why wouldn't you do it?
It is. Why wouldn't it be wrong? Cold of Dusty says it's wrong if you're appealing to empathy. I think it's wrong to kill somebody. I'm empathetic. I think it's wrong to kill somebody. Okay, and I'm not even an atheist. But it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with your ontology of God's existence. It is your moral standing. I can appeal to different forms of normal ethical theories to say that and say I'm perfectly justified to say it is wrong to kill somebody for the sake of killing.
Is it wrong to torture a child for fun to save your family?
I'm asking you, what makes it wrong? I can say what it's wrong. You said you're not going to go out and do it, but you think it's right if somebody wanted to? If I wanted to go out and kill, you think it's right if God didn't exist? Really?
You have no thought. Like,
I think that's just complicating it, though. The simpler question is why he wouldn't. Whether it be right or wrong as a bigger society doesn't play into it. We all know why he's not answering the question.
Because it will clearly disprove everything he's saying. He knows he's full of shit, and that's why he won't answer this goddamn simple question. It makes it so frustrating. We see right through you. Right. We know why you're not answering. You're weaselly, okay? It's a weasel shit.
But it's great that people come on and do that.
There's totally objective, totally subjective. You're looking at reality either totally objective or totally subjective, which becomes self-defeating. Or what Christians do, we look at life as semi-transcendent, where you can make meaningful statements about reality without making comprehensive statements. So there's no amount of concrete physical reality that is self-explanatory. Anytime you see intelligibility, you assume intelligence behind it, and you see the interest, the history of God himself. For example, it dawned on me when I was looking at that which I was looking at was because of which I was able to look at it. What struck me in awe was because of which I was
capable. Dude, what are you talking about?
It's like Jordan Peterson. Just word salad bullshit.
All he's saying is an anthropic principle is that since I'm able to understand something, that I have it has intelligibility, that implies an intelligent agent. No, that is not what it means. It means that I, as an intelligent agent, am able to make inferences.
How would you differentiate between good and evil?
I just want you to understand that the jargon doesn't impress anyone here. Like I like much more honest answers, but it does nothing to ask these questions that just answer me. Just answer the questions honestly,
it's not wrong to go out and hurt people. It is not wrong to go out and hurt people. There's no God. There's no meaning.
Then you're a psychopath. Right. I mean,
you're a psychopath, dude.
Seek help immediately. What's wrong with being a psychopath?
All right, one at a time.
To say that he's wrong.
Do I really have to answer the question of what's wrong with being a psychopath? Is that really the question I'm being answered right now? I mean,
I thought you were. I thought you were finishing your thought there.
I'm sorry.
You definitely have to answer that.
Yeah, what's wrong with rape? What's wrong with murder? Hey, listen,
I had this conversation with Cy Tan, and that's what he said. I was explaining to him that he was being a terrorist by telling people they're going to be tortured forever if they don't join his cult. And his response is, what's wrong with terrorism? He literally said that to me three times. What's wrong with terrorism?
Oh, like, gosh.
Dude, I really have to fucking sit there and explain to you what's wrong with terrorism, you fucking moron.
We all know terrorism is wrong.
Why?
What we're trying to say is you have no basis to say that it's wrong because there's no God.
No,
you have no foundation.
I have a basis. Empathy. Empathy is my foundation. It has nothing to do with God, dude. Right. Nothing. I've told you this 1,000 times. And no matter how many times you tell me that's not true, it doesn't make you right. I mean, It's empathy, dude. Empathy.
I hope that, I hope that you stay religious. If God's the only thing that's keeping you from from harming people, then please go to church every Sunday.
And everybody that knows you should stay away from you, because if you wake up tomorrow and you're no longer a Christian, you're going to murder everybody. So nobody should be around you.
That's not what I'm saying. Argument has nothing to do about believing in God. The argument is that without God, we're not arguing that to believe in God, you have to be a good person. We're not arguing that. We're arguing that without God, there isn't any actual measurement of right and wrong. There's no absolute standard. Right.
We've already explained that repeatedly.
All moral values are just spins off of sociobiological evolution. And that's all the atheistic morals are. You're unwilling to accept the idea that anything exists beyond nature. That's begging the question in favor of atheism. That's presupposing that atheism is true. And you're committing a circular argument that your only reason for believing that atheism is true, that you already accept the conclusion. And when you say there's nothing beyond nature, there's no supernatural. So without God, there isn't any absolute standard right and wrong, and therefore what we call moral values are just spins off of sociobiological evolution. The ramifications follow when you deny a personal God, the moral first cause. The first one is very difficult to anchor an
absolute wrong. Please, you're just running a script. Nobody's buying it. We all know these topics.
I'm the best.
You have no idea. Let me. Yeah, you're the best at running a script. So these people,
you're awesome. You know, being a weasel that doesn't answer questions.
Let me ask. I have a question. Are you an atheist? Because I think you might be an atheist that's punking us. And I'm not. And I'm not. Yeah. I'm not being facetious.
Am I being trolled?
Are you actually punking? Because we've had people
saying, "Ashton Kutcher, I'm probably punked."
I really think that you might be punking us. Be honest.
Please don't be a troll.
Well, no, dude, for real. I'm not an atheist. I can't find a rational, defensible way for your guys' moral reasoning. And every time you guys spill out the garbage about evolution, it makes me want to vomit. Because I can go toe to toe with R and Ra about the birds and dinosaurs.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
You've done so well thus far.
Yeah,
let me ask you this. Then I'm done. I just have one quick question, then I'm done. Why is it you're allowed to appeal to God, but cultists can't appeal to something like emotions? I can't appeal to any kind of normative ethical theory, such as virtue ethics that I do to. Let me finish. Or consequentialism, or utilitarianism, or deontological consequences. I can appeal to many different forms of normative ethical theories, and that makes something moral. You're saying I'm not allowed to do that. Why are you telling us what we can and cannot do when this is moral? This is how moral theory works. You're telling us we can't use established moral theory that's been around for a very long time. And what precedent do you have to say that? Because reasons?
No, you don't have a foundation for the things that you say. Your starting point is invalid. That's what we're trying to say. If your starting point is nothing, if your starting point is nothing, and you're building on your foundation on nothing, then everything you say logically after that is logically inconsistent. It's a contradiction in terms. You have to be logically consistent. So you're presupposing what you're saying is true without your starting point, without any evidence for your starting point. So it becomes invalid. So everything you say is completely invalid because your starting point is, I don't know if this is true. So if you're saying my starting point is, I don't know if this is true, then everything you say about morals could be false.
Because you don't have an answer to it. You are the best. You're the best.
Everything you say is invalid. You are invalidated, yes.
Here's my final question, Skyout, and then we'll let Dusty have the final word on this. But this is from Pine Creek in the chat. He said, Hindus or Muslims or Jews have the proper foundation for morality?
Everybody has a proper foundation for morality. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, if you're a Muslim. Everyone has a foundation for morality. It's whether or not if it's absolute measurement to understand whether that morality is grounded in the nature of God. So you can be a person that's a Muslim and think that, oh, my moral values, I can go out and murder, rape, and kill, and my God says so. But under the logical principle of Darwinian evolution by natural selection, all it is our moral values are just complex sociology from biology, from time and history. So it's the same under this atheistic view. Even if you are a Muslim, even if you are a Jewish person, you're just a relatively advanced primate. There really isn't any objective right or wrong.
Isn't that true, though? I just want to press you on this one thing. Isn't that true, though? Because how many years did they use the Bible and actually did say that the Bible gave them the right to pillage villages, to murder, rape, take lands from people? How many times did the Pope himself okay these things? The Vicar of Christ, he in fact endorsed these horrendous atrocities inflicted on society. Was that moral?
when you say these horrendous atrocities, well, you don't have no basis or foundation to say these are horrendous. There's no absolute standard for you to say they're horrendous. You have no basis or foundation to say that because everything you're saying becomes
once again, you're not going to get me with the jargon bullshit. Just answer the question. As somebody who is a Christian, was it moral for them to burn people at the stake, to sack all of these cities and to take their lands and to take the women? And was that moral?
That's wrong. That's absolutely morally wrong.
Okay, so at society, morality is a basis of societal norms that people decide on together, not by an objective standard, because you're very church. The guy that is selected by God, put down here on earth, endorsed that and used the Bible to justify that. And we've evolved.
Sure. Yeah, that's the problem with those are the ramifications when those people fail, and those people where they ultimately go, they choose to distort God's word, and so it becomes a struggle trying to explain life, having lost all points of reference. It's really a struggle you have to deal with if you choose to live your existence without any transcendent, ontic points of reference. It's the absolute denial of the absolute. So the struggle I have when I was in your position. But I struggle with the ramifications of a naturalistic, materialistic world of ours with no God, no transcendent, no personal moral first God. Where do you go for the definitions? How do you define the most essential things in life? So basically, those ramifications follow when you live a naturalistic, materialistic world of ours. When you depend on society, you're depending on evolution and where those society norms came from, complex sociology and from time and history, from biology and history, from Darwinian evolution by natural selection. But there's no objectivity to that. So when you make moral statements, you're acting inconsistently with your own worldview because you don't have an absolute standard. You're lost in a sea of moral cultural relativism. So that's where you're at. You're lost in that sea of moral cultural relativism.
Let me ask you a question. Are you absolutely true? Are you absolutely sure that you're correct? Are you 100% sure that you're correct in what you're saying right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm correct about what I say too.
Okay, you're 100% sure you're correct. How can you be 100% sure when you don't possess all the information? How can a mind know 100% for certain that something is true without possessing every bit of the information that is in the universe?
Oh, I'm certain the same way you're.
No, I'm not certain. That's the thing. I'm not certain. I'm an agnostic atheist. I only believe things that I have the evidence for. And I realize that I don't have all the information in the world, so I'm an idiot. So I can only do the best I can with the information I have. Isn't that the same with you? Couldn't you be wrong? Isn't your opinion just an opinion, just like ours? It's not built on any absolute whatsoever because you don't have all the information and you can't possibly know for 100% you're telling the truth. Isn't that right?
Well, I can turn that question around and say that is it possible God couldn't exist in the knowledge?
You could answer it. That'd be refreshing if you could just fucking answer a question somebody asked you for once. That'd be fucking awesome, dude. Instead of being a weasel and now answering shit somebody asked you. They're very simple questions, and I know why you're not answering them, because they disapprove every fucking thing you're saying, because what you're saying is goddamn stupid. So can we move on past this dude? God damn, it's fucking frustrating talking to morons like this. He's not going to answer because he can't.
Yeah, we're getting
He knows, and he knows, and by the way, Nicholas Suter, he actually has somebody he wants to bring on. He messaged you, Kyle, from Twitter. Did you get it?
No.
Okay, so you might want to check your Twitter. Because we can answer. I can answer your questions. Okay, this is my jam. I'm even saying everything you just said is word salad, to the point of you are just running a script. I don't think you understand these topics. I think you just want to try to dazzle people with words that you don't fully understand. Nothing you said makes sense. I mean,
check it out.
God have mercy on your soul.
You go back and look at my go back and look at my video with Dr. Josh on the Scholar Fiction Show. Me and Dr. Josh have a hermeneutical. He has the soteriology and the Egyptianology. And he says that sky out hermeneutics and exegesis are up to the standard. And he says that about me. He says
exegesis. I didn't ask you about your hermeneutics. I know nothing about the Bible. This is not a context about the Bible, understanding the Bible. This is about morality, something that I do know a little bit about, and I happen to like this topic. Why would you jump from morality to exegesis? They're completely, utterly, distinctly, fundamentally different things.
No, it connects together, because what you're trying to say, God is really not existent. What makes it wrong for you to go out and not hurt somebody? Is that wrong?
God,
I've already explained this. I appeal to virtue. I appeal to virtue ethics, consequentialism, and utilitarianism.
We tried, man. You just wouldn't answer any. You wouldn't answer the questions, and they
or listen.
I said yes. I said yes. It would be wrong to hurt someone if you don't believe in God. I did say yes to that. I
We're trying to figure out why, though. We do appreciate you coming on, at least giving it a go. But it's like Dusty. Like Dusty said, I mean, we know why you can't answer those questions, because then you wouldn't be able to espouse that bullshit anymore. It would defeat.
I answered the question.
It would be defeated. But I think ultimately,
you didn't.
Ultimately, you know.
I mean, we all know that God exists, and that's why moral values exist. At least we all know that. Because without God, there's no moral values.
Her name is Beyonce. Of course we do. Her name is Beyonce. We all know that she exists.
Dusty, hey, this do is you agree
I don't debate Christians anymore. I get too upset.
Let me ask you, Dusty. Do you know people like him, I think, are needed? He is the exemplar of what we are fighting against, and he actually is converting people away from theism and away from creationism, just like Kent and so we need these people. I mean, they do a function. They literally are so inept that they, when people listen, they go, I'm not going to be like that idiot. I can answer questions. I'm not going to be like him. And so they have a function.
I apologize for getting so upset. I get so frustrated at these people when you want to answer a simple, straightforward question. And
dude,
I lose my shit, but I got to stay calm.
I gave Brad. I gave you the link. Who is this guy, Steve? You were saying.
I don't know his name.
He seems legit.
Yeah, no. I mean, if Tudor vouches him, I like him. He knows shit.
You can't have morality as an atheist. If you think back with all of these people that use the Bible to do these horrendous things, and I used the example the other day, it was just recently, up until the 1950s, they used the Bible to justify not marrying outside of your own race. The Bible has been used so many different times to do just immoral things. Think about my community, the LGBTQ community. It's used as the thing itself is an immoral book as a whole. Yes, there are some good lessons you can learn from it. There are some nice verses, some nice poetry in there. But as a whole, the book is harmful. And there's nothing that you can do in life that is good that you can't do without religion. You know, you can still do these things for people. You don't have to have the God aspect of it. And as me and Dusty were talking about earlier, because I was telling him what made me become an atheist was actually reading the book. If you read the book and you get to the end of Revelation and you close it and you say, you know what, I'm still a Christian, then there are deeper issues afoot. Deeper issues afoot. I think we have Brad, are you here? Brad?
He's here, sort of. Brad?
Brad, can you hear us?
Yeah, I had to turn the...
You're coming in kind of choppy.
Turn the volume.
There we go. Now you're a little bit better. Okay, say something now, Brad.
Yeah, I think the stream is catching up.
Oh, that's
it's a little choppy. I think the stream is trying to...
You're good now. Welcome. What did you want to say to us there, Brad?
To be honest with you, I'm just jumping on. I'm just joining the conversation. I didn't really hear anything past about the last 2 minutes. So I'm not sure to jump in. It sounded like there were some questions.
Did you hear anything before that about what we were talking about?
Did you hear about how I popularized facials? Very important.
We were looking to see if you could give us a there he is. If you could give us an argument for the existence of God, or why something like religion isn't harmful, something along those lines. Like I assume that you are a theist.
Yeah. Again, it's getting a little choppy video or audio from you. So I'm hearing repeat it one more time.
Okay. I tell you what, Brad, what I'm going to do, this might be better. Dave, bring him in through Skype. I'm going to give you a name to add on Skype. I'll message it to you through a DM on Twitter. Just add that name, and we'll bring you in this way.
You got it.
Usually that will take care of that choppy issue. Okay, so there's the name. Add that on Skype, and Dave will bring you in that way. Dusty, you've since you've been on YouTube for a long time, I'm sure you've heard a lot of reasons why things like the morality issue, you can't get your morals from God. What's the most unbelievable reason that you've heard from, or argument that you've heard from the theist side in terms of either for God or against atheism?
Oh, my favorite is when they tell me that I'm only an atheist because I love sin more than I love God, which is true. Love me some fucking sin. I sin all the time. Fuck God. God's against masturbation. Who needs him? But yeah, I love that. I love when they tell me that something really bad happened to me and that's why I'm an atheist. Clearly, something traumatizing happened to you that makes you hate God. I'm like, nope. I've had a fucking awesome life, still having an awesome life. Nothing bad happened to me. I just haven't seen any evidence, and so I don't believe. It's as simple as that. It's not really complicated.
Yep. Steve, you look like you were going to say something there.
No, I'm on board with what Dusty's saying.
He's too busy staring at my face.
I have, staring all gay now. That's it. I have no reason to for example, to believe, but I didn't have a bad childhood. I have nothing in my life that I would change if God existed, I don't think, except, you know, I mean, sure, if he did, I would probably go, okay, let's figure out more about him and whatever, but it's not suck. That I don't want to believe in him. Theists do a disservice when they run that narrative. One, they maintain that atheists know God exists. That's a bad argument. They need to stop that. I mean, they need to get together and just say, look, this does nobody any good. It's just bad. It's not even how Romans 1 should be interpreted. A guy named Dr. Kenny Rhodes is a friend of mine for reasons to believe. He did a video on this. I'm going to be actually hanging out with him this weekend. He even put out to theists, stop using this. This is not what Paul meant when he wrote to the Corinthians. He was talking about a very small group of Jews. He was not talking about atheists. So even modern theists that are putting out that narrative, even other Christians are telling them they are wrong. So stop doing it. But the other narrative is that, oh, something must have happened to you that, you know, you denied God. No, I had a pretty good childhood, you know.
That's the one I got a lot from people on here. I still get messages all the time that people are saying, that's the reason why you're gay. Something traumatic happened to you when
you're molested.
Yes. It's just like, I mean, number one, fuck you for assuming that about anybody. You know what I mean? Like, really, if that's your approach to why you think, if you're that like blockheaded, you just don't have, you shouldn't interact with people. I don't think. I think you should not, your social privileges should be revoked, and you shouldn't have any interactions with society as general. Cause all you do is pull it down. Like people like that as a collective, bring the intelligence of society down to where we have to defend this. And that's why I don't respond to them anymore. Used to, it would make me angry and I would get into like a back and forth. I don't do that anymore because I'm not going to let people like that bring me down to that level of discourse. You know, I'll have conversations with the people who are, you know, bright enough to understand that people don't have to have a negative situation happen to them in the past in order to arrive at what you think is a negative conclusion, or be an atheist, or, you know, be gay or whatever. So that's the one that annoys me the most. But I'll tell you this, I heard this question. And I'd like to see how, Dusty, let's imagine if you were back in your Christian days. How would you answer this question if somebody asked you this? Because Apologia actually asked this question to SJ, I believe. And to me, this is it's the most brilliant question. Like, I wish I had known this a long time ago, but it's just unanswerable to me. Because he said that him and his mom are really close, right? And I'm paraphrasing, this is not word for word what he said, but him and his mom are really close. He is an atheist. His mom is a theist. Now, when they're both die and go to their respective places, his mom obviously is going to be heartbroken that her son is not in heaven with him, with her. So that presents a unique problem. Now, number one, when she is in heaven, because it says that there is no sorrow or heartache, does that mean that God is going to wipe her memory of her son, of Paul, that she never remembers Paul, so that she can't go in heaven. Obviously, if she did remember Paul and knowing that he's in hell and not with her, she's going to be upset. Or the other question was, does that mean that she's not her anymore? If God takes away that memory of Paul and he's not in her mind anymore, then that's really not her that's up there in heaven. She doesn't retain those memories that could possibly cause any kind of sadness because that person's in hell. So I would love for somebody to answer that question for me. When you go to heaven, do you retain, you know, can you be sad in heaven knowing that your family members are burning in hell, or is that wiped out?
It's funny that you asked that, because when I was just becoming an atheist, me and my best friend Steven were sent by his mom to her preacher to basically debate him and have him explain to us why God was true. And I asked him this exact same question. I asked him, well, what if you were in heaven and what if one of your sons went to hell? I mean, how could you live with that? Wouldn't you be miserable in heaven? And his response was, I would be okay with it. I would be okay knowing my son was being tortured and burned in hell for eternity, and I would be fine in heaven. And I was like, wow. Okay, well, I'm out.
Like, where do you go?
Clearly,
where do you
that's
go
fucking
there?
Awful. Where can you go from there? Like, obviously, like, you're an insane person, or like, and that's not true. You know that's not true. And the funny thing is, like, the next day he called my friend's mom and he apologized for saying that, said he felt bad for saying that. He didn't like explain why or anything, but he knew what he said was complete bullshit. He actually told her, I had never debated anybody like that. It was like they were from the north. That's how it is in the south. Atheists are like evil carpetbaggers down here.
Dave, he said he's waiting on you to connect. He's on Skype and he's okay. He's in. Okay. But yeah, I think that to me that is a huge huge problem, because if you do have those memories taken away from you, if you aren't going to remember, let's say your spouse, your kids, your mother, whoever that didn't wind up being in heaven with you, then that's not you. That's not you. Yeah. It may be form, but you don't have the memories that make you you.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, where is that in scripture? Where are they getting this from? I mean, it sounds like they're just pulling it out of their ass ad hoc. That God's going to. Where are they getting this idea from that they think that a person's mind will be wiped or something?
It says there's no sorrow or despair in heaven.
But they're reading into that. But it doesn't say what they say it's going to say. And they're just saying, well, if there's no sorrow, the only way they can do this is where they wipe their memory. No, that's not. There could be other things. I think they're just making shit up as they go along.
Like what?
Well, how about universalism? As everybody says,
if you don't have the memories of the person that went to hell,
but that's
what happened.
But it doesn't say that. That's still eisegesis. If it doesn't say that, then you're reading into it what you think it. One possible explanation.
I think that's nitpicking what the ultimate point is. The ultimate point is that the Bible clearly says there will be no sorrow in heaven. So if there's if you have a loved one that's in hell, obviously that's going to bring you sorrow. So only one of two options can happen. Either you're able to get over it and live with yourself like that, or that memory is taken away from you. There cannot be another option.
Hell doesn't exist the way they think it would exist.
Still, though, they would be separated from you. They would be gone from you. Whether or not hell was a closet that you just were locked in, or it was the lake of fire, you wouldn't be with them forever. And that would make anybody sad that really loved that person. So
they could be autonomous robots that have no emotions whatsoever. They keep their memories, but they just have no emotions.
Boom.
I actually debated the street preacher. You might have seen my video on that. And I asked him that if sin was a byproduct of free will. And he said, yes. And I said, was there sin in heaven? And he said, no. And I said, so there's no free will in heaven? And he said, no. So they believe there's no free will in heaven.
You're just a robot, basically. Satan made a choice. I mean, Satan knew the truth, and even he took off.
He was out of there.
The smart one.
Brad, welcome, sir. Is this better? Can you hear us okay now? Brad?
Why is Brad calling on a potato? Come on, Brad, up your shit.
Can you hear us, Brad?
Webcams are only like $40, dude. Come on.
Dave, can
Internet
you hear
connection.
Us?
It doesn't appear so.
Well, we'll give him another 2 minutes. I mean, we're pushing the 2 hour mark anyway, so we wouldn't have spent long with him anyway. So Brad, if you can't hear us, I don't know what the deal is, but it must be a connection issue because we're not able to
apologize about the delay here.
Oh, can you hear us now?
Yeah, very lightly. For some reason, now that I'm in Skype, it's really low, but it's not
delayed.
Okay, so well, at least we can hear you a lot better. So you're a theist, I assume, right? Okay, Brad, I don't think it's gonna connect.
Jesus is not with you, Brad.
We're not
pray hard.
We're
not
getting anything. Yes, Brad. Just very lightly.
We're not getting anything. Are you? I'll try it one more time, and then if it doesn't work, Brad, we're just gonna have to close out because it's just not. Must be a connection issue, but we're not getting anything. Are you a theist?
Yes.
Whoa, that time he answered even before I got the question. Now we're talking. Now we're getting good.
Making progress.
So what is your stance? Are you a Christian? What specifically would you identify as?
So close.
No, it's not working. Okay. It's not working.
This is not gonna work. Sorry, Brad. We tried.
Yeah, sorry, Brad. Look, Brad, I'll get in touch with you. We'll bring you back on, but we'll need to do something with the connection because it's just not we're getting every other word is just not coming through. I'll give you my email and you can contact me. You can contact me that way.
But, yeah, specifically, I'm a Christian.
Oh,
5 minutes later.
Brad, in just a second, you're gonna hear where we had to say I'm gonna get into contact with you.
I think listening to the video delay, that's the problem.
Oh.
I love this show. I just love this.
Love you, Brad, anyway.
Oh, wait. Mike.
Now Kyle's messed up.
this is our hand symbol. We actually got a symbol for his mic. That's a better symbol, yeah. No, he's still quiet.
Brad, we'll get with you. Huh?
There you go. Now it works. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's when you know it's time to get to the super chats and start wrapping up. Brad, I will email you and I'll give you my contact information and we'll see if we can't get you back when we can set these up. I'll read the super chats and then we'll let Dusty plug his channel and anything he's got coming up again and let's see. Elizabeth Fitzpatrick says, "Hi, Kyle. Hi, Steve. Hey, Dusty. I'm a huge fan of Cult of Dusty. He was the first atheist channel I watched on YouTube, and I was late to YouTube." Cool. Mr. Meat Lover says, "Are we talking prophet or profit? And that is the like prophet of God, and then profit as in money."
Always about the profit with the money. Now it's silent.
Did he freeze?
I think he froze. Fucking super chats fucked you up.
I don't think his mic is going to like work until the end here.
Oh, yeah. It always does this at the very end.
It does. Like 2 hours into it. It's like it does it without fail. It will be working. And then about 90 minutes or 2 hours, that's when it just says, I'm going
to
take a dump.
That's okay. They're sending me a new one. I just have to – it takes like a week to get here. I've got to hold out on this one until the new one gets here. Ken Hovind, CPA, non-sec hits another home run. Dusty is the best. So
yay, wow. I did it.
People actually have
me back on, dude. I'm awesome. Have me back on, Mark. I know.
Yeah.
Mike McAtheist says, can you ask Dusty to say beta or lesbian? Lesbian, love you. Talking about Jesse Lee Peterson.
Is that, yeah, Jesse Lee? Beta! I've heard him.
Yeah.
Lesbian.
We had him on here. We had him on here 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you, man, I have never laughed so hard in my life.
Do you think he's just a troll or you think he really believes what he says? Because I think he's trolling.
He thinks he is.
Yeah.
Really? Totally. You know what? I'm outnumbered. I think that he actually believes it, but he may be exaggerating.
No.
If he's a troll, he's a damn good one. I got to admit, the dude is funny. He is entertaining. I'm not going
to
lie.
He does the Sunday show called Church with Jesse Lee Peterson, where he talks to like the people who are in his bond program, the men that he helps, and they bring their girlfriends and mothers and stuff like that. And there's this the one 2 weeks ago, there was a white guy that stood up and was saying all of this like out of the blue, out of nowhere, just starts going on this anti-Semitic rant where he's just talking about how the Jews control everything and how they're responsible for all the bad stuff that's going on in the world. And for 45 minutes, Jesse Lee Peterson goes and he is destroying this guy's arguments. And he's doing it in a way where I told Steve, and I sent Steve the video. I was like, this is not the Jesse Lee Peterson that we knew. Everything that he said was dead on. Everything that he was telling the guy about why he shouldn't think the way that he does was dead on. And he didn't go in his normal, like, you know, just answers that just make your mind blow. He literally, that was the real Jesse Lee I saw right there. Like, that man that was doing this advice,
I've seen him like that before. Remember I told you before when we first mentioned his name that I didn't think he was that bad because I had listened to him before and I listened to some of the video you sent me. That's how I've seen him before, right? I've heard him say things that I go, yeah, I actually agree with him, and he actually sounds cogent. And so you agree there's times that he sounds that way. That's the other thing I've ever heard from him. This other stuff, I was like, oh, I had no idea that he had all this other narrative that he added.
He doesn't believe racism exists. I mean, come on. He's got to be trolling at that point.
Yes, definitely. Possibly. I think he's just part of this crew that knows. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm willing to concede it is definitely in the realm of possibility that he's trolling for whatever reason. I don't know why. But because that's
I know why he's appealing to his fan base. He has this fan base that all they care about is owning the libs, whatever you can do to own the libs. And so he just says crazy ass shit. And they know it supposedly gets under the liberal skin. So they love him. They don't give a shit what he says. That's what, how a lot of these people are.
Because they're beta.
Beta.
Children of the lie. Okay. Let's see. Where are we at? Ash Attack. If professional dodgeball was a thing, this guy would be a superstar. Call him out on it. Talking about
the weasel. Sky out.
Yep. Elizabeth Fitzpatrick, atheism is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with reality. I love you, Dusty. Miss love your you. New videos, you. But like rewatching others. Kiwasa says, discount Psy, anyone? Yeah, you had a conversation with Psy 10, Regan Kate.
Yeah, I did a video called Stand Up to Christian Terrorists where Psy 10 was out at the first public unveiling of an atheist monument on public grounds. It was out in Florida, and I went out in there, and he was there standing up and threatening everybody with torture if they don't join his cult. And so I went up and confronted him and Eric Hovind's son, and I made a video about it. It's pretty funny.
Kyle Julius 311 says, please have Dusty on more. This was great. He needs his soapbox back. Yeah, I'd agree. I thought this was fantastic.
That'd be good.
I enjoyed it. I was very surprised. I got to tell you, and I'll be upfront, you know, I have heard, obviously, like anybody else, things about you. And I judge people individually. I judge with their merit. I judge my interactions with them. I think you were pretty entertaining. I've actually enjoyed the conversation. So anybody who has any issues with you is just completely irrelevant to what I have with an interaction with somebody. So I have you back.
I ruffled a lot of feathers, and so a lot of people spread misinformation about me to try to discredit me. And so a lot of the stuff you heard about me is just simply not true, you know, and so there's nothing I can do about that. The people that did it are much more popular than I am, and so they get their message out there in a way that I can't. So a lot of people believe things about me that are absolutely not true, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. So, you know, just got to deal with it.
Mm. I get that. I welcome to our world.
Just got
to
do you.
I've been there myself. So I don't buy into a lot of things. Again, you know, if I find out if you're a piece of shit later, then I'm going to say something. But as of now, I've been really entertained, so thank you.
All right. I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys had me on. I've had fun.
As have I. We'll have to have you back for sure. Kwasa says he's doing discount Peterson now. I think that was towards Sky Out. Cowboy 1000 says Sky Out. What about the genocides in the Bible? Mr. Meat Lover 666. Yep, definitely a poor man. Saiten Brugenkate. Demonic Davro says born Catholic and with a deformity that still gives me trouble. God does not exist. If he did, I wouldn't have to suffer. I think that's a very fair point.
Sorry about
Cowboy,
that. Dude. We love you.
Yeah. Cowboy 1000 says genocide is in the Bible. Brian Stevens says please donate to the Sky Out Recovery Fund. Yeah.
The burn unit.
Yeah, Skyfall now. Ash Attack says for a Christian this guy sure is prideful. DePooch says dude the foundation begins and ends with you the individual. I think that's absolutely true. Mark Woodson says, how does he presuppose humans are not capable of morality? Ash Attack, the Bible says a man cannot rape his wife because she does not own her body. I'm curious what King Dodge has to say about that. Oh, that would have been a really good question. the can you rape your spouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I regret me didn't ask that, actually.
Yeah. Sky Dodge, there's genocide in the Bible from Cowboy 1000. Mr. Meat Lover thinks he can defeat Aaron Ra on evolution, but he's established an evolutionary link between apologists and weasels.
Definitely.
Yeah. Good comment. Chris Gardner in live chat says, Kyle, I'm sure heaven will allow a plus one. So if I go, you could be my plus one, buddy. Oh, thank you. I would not accept that invitation because I could not see myself worshiping that deity for eternity, knowing what I know.
It'd be so boring.
So all the fun people are going to be where I'm going. So I have to stick to that, I think.
Yeah, party in hell.
Even if we are screaming for eternity, we'll at least be doing it with really cool people. Let's see. Mark Whitson says, I didn't know Billy Howardrell was a theist. Billy Howardell? That name ring a bell to anybody?
Nope.
Okay, Mike McAtheist. Mike McAtheist says, Non Second and Dusty are the great white hope.
Great.
And two more. Kyle, do you, Valeth 1337 says, Kyle, do you know anyone who tried to be gay but stopped because they didn't like it? Good question. Good question. No. I have friends that have tried aspects of being gay and didn't like it, you know, when they're just trying to figure out what their preferences are, you know, if they were top, bottom, verse, that sort of thing. And they, you know,
my girlfriend stuck her finger in my butt and I didn't like it. So I tried. It feels like a reverse poop. It's like wrong way. It doesn't feel natural. So
that's a good way to describe it. But yeah, people who try to be gay, and that runs the gamut. We were actually talking before we came on the show about, friends that you'll go out with. Like I have had in the past several friends that are I thought were completely straight, like, you know, they were, one of them was married, you know, just completely straight, and then you go out and you get them drunk enough, and the one story I told was we're back in the Uber going back to where we're gonna crash, and he just kind of looks over and goes, so is this gonna happen? And I was like, is what gonna happen? Oh, is that gonna happen? So yeah, they try. Giggity. I don't know if it's an issue of whether they didn't like it and they're trying to go back to it. I think it's just you get some people are curious. I think people in general are curious people. Some people are curious with their sexuality. Not everybody is, but some people are, and so they. I think they have these inhibitions put on them, whether it be societal or with religion or anything like that. But the alcohol lifts those up a little bit. And they start to want to, you know, figure out about that curiosity aspect of it. And none that I have experienced have not liked it. As evidence that they come back. So
it's a blowjob. What's not the like?
Hey, Kyle. Dusty. He's actually trying to buy you a drink. I think Kyle's like, hey, let's go out for drinks tonight, man.
Hey, you ever in Mississippi? Let me know. I'll let you get me drunk. We'll see what happens.
Oh, you're not far. I'm over in North Carolina. I was really excited when you were coming on because I was like, finally, I will have someone that has the same twang that I do.
Kindred spirit.
You're the first. Yeah, you're the first person on here that has the accent like I do.
What accent?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question though. This is like a question that, and I want to see if you feel this way too. There are times where I feel that I have like a really brilliant point. I'll give you an example. You have people like that are from Britain, right? Like Sargon. Sargon could say anything and it could be complete bullshit, but because it's got that, or Christopher Hitchens, because it's got that, you know, that very polished and proper tone to it, people, you know, they think there's more credibility to there. He just sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Now, I could be on the flip side. I could be 110% right about something. And because I have this twang, people instantly go, he sounds like one of those,
you're an idiot.
One of those uneducated hicks. I got a sister fucker.
You've got a hick, man.
It's kind of a double-edged sword for me because, like, on one hand, it is like that. On the other hand, I say things and people are not expecting it to come out of my accent. So it actually kind of sets me apart from people. So it's been kind of a boon to me, I think.
Yeah, that's the promise less deliver more theory of, you know, like if you tell somebody that
I got a car, but it's, you know, it's a good car. And then when they get in the car, it's like a Ferrari. They're like, oh wow, I didn't expect this.
I look and sound really stupid, but when something smart comes out of my mouth, people are shocked. So it works for me.
Yeah, I guess I have to get to that whole saying smart things. That's maybe where my problem is. Once I get to that point, maybe.
All you gotta do is preference everything with quantum, magnetic, vibration, anything like that. You're golden, man.
Good to go.
Quantum facials.
Yeah. That's buzz the name. Of
it. Quantum harmonic facials. It'll raise your vibration.
Next website.
Exactly.
All right. I got one more here. It says, this is from Mike the Atheist again. Dusty, sorry, I've been drinking YouTube, Steve. Oh, he spelled it Desty in the first one. So he's apologizing. Thank you for that. And he just said it one more. Dusty ain't no bottom beta.
Beta. Nope, definitely a top. If I'm going to be gay, I got to be a top. Sorry. But
yeah, well, there you go.
I'm open-minded. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Life's too – you only get one of these. Might as well know what you don't like and don't like before you leave. That's my philosophy.
I like blowjobs. I don't discriminate.
There you go. Lesbians.
Lesbians.
Dusty, thank you for coming on. This was absolutely awesome. I love the shows where we have people on here. We come in and laugh. We do a lot of shows that deal with some serious topics or whatever, and it's nice to be able to just kick back and, you know, shoot the shit and that sort of thing.
It was an absolute pleasure. Before I go, can I apologize to Matt Dillahunty on your show? I just want to, because I know he came on your show, and
sure.
I just want to apologize. And I'm sorry for what I said again. I was a big ass jerk, and I don't expect you to forgive me, but I'm rooting for you and I like you, and I apologize again.
That's really good of you. That was really good of you to do.
That's sweet.
I feel bad. So I really legitimately feel bad, and I've changed. So
yeah, people make mistakes, and they should be able to, people should be able to realize that and get past that. I agree. One more super chat came in of Vibrantly. Brantley says, I've almost came out as bi at work a few times by accident. I work with a bunch of homophobes, but as long as I don't say anything on a public platform, they'll never know. Yeah, but you know what? I used to be like that way too. I used to be that way too. And then one morning, it was weird. It was weird. One morning I woke up and I was like, you know, I'm really tired of stressing myself out and giving a fuck what other people think about who I choose to sleep with or who I choose to love. And you can't go through your life. I know this is easier to hear than actually put into practice, but if you'll be glad that you did the day that you do it, because when you look back, you're wasting your time, your effort, your energy, your anxiety, and the positive feeling that you could have about being you on some assholes who don't amount to – their opinion doesn't amount to anything anyways. The one thing that I learned – or my one thing that I never want to do now, going forward, is have a regret. I've had several of my friends that have been in, tragic situations where they've been taken car wrecks, the same age as me. And there's nothing like going to somebody that used to be a friend of yours and putting them in the ground to make you realize that once that happens, it's over. You don't get another repeat of this. And go into that place because of a couple of assholes that they just are wrong and they have a hateful spirit about them. Don't give them any of that power. Fuck them. And if you don't have to tell anybody that you're bi, but if you want to tell people that you are and you're not because you're afraid of what somebody else is going to say, fuck them. Fuck them.
People are a lot more open than you think they are, too. That's the thing. People are a lot more accepting than you think you are. My mom was totally fucking anti-gay, totally anti-gay. And then my sister came out as gay. And now she's fucking so accepting of her and her wife. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, it could work out a lot better than you think. People are not what you think they are a lot of times.
It's very true. I had the same thing. I was worried to death about because my whole family's religious, super religious. I was scared to death about I was going to lose my family. I didn't lose anybody. And I know that's not a standard thing. It's not an average event. And I was very lucky, but I beat myself up and wasted so much time for nothing. You know, nobody treated me any differently. Violently Brantley in the chat to respond to that said that they have always wanted to tell them, they just haven't. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah, do what's right for you, man. But don't be afraid. People are a lot more accepting than you think sometimes.
Yeah, just be you.
My quote, people ask me, I got asked the other day, I did an interview, they asked me what I live by. I live by four words, just four very simple words that I think will get you through life, and that is dream on and never hide.
That's five words.
Well, the and's not supposed to be there. Dream on, never hide. Yeah, there we go.
As long as you do those two things,
as long as you do those two things, you'll have a happy life, and you'll be able to be okay with yourself. Never stop dreaming, because nothing's out of limit if you want it hard enough. And don't hide. Don't give people the power to make you be anything less than what you want to be. And fuck anybody that says anything different.
Totally agree.
I'm going to let you actually, I want to hear, this will be the last, we're going to let Dusty have the last word. And Dusty, give us what your life motto would be, or a quote that you kind of try to live by. Oh,
God, I wasn't prepared for this. I'm a hedonist.
Well, you have one? That's your whole
story. You're talking about my catchphrase. You're talking about logic. Fuck yes. That's my fucking motto.
Exactly. Logic, motherfucker. Well, Dusty, as always, thank you for being with us. This was awesome. And we'll see you you guys watching back here tomorrow, where we will have a debate on was there a net positive for African-Americans in slavery? This is what I was saying. Like, you know, we go from this tonight, which was really, you know, really – laid back, awesome conversation, laughing. Tomorrow, bring your serious shoes on, because it's going to hit the fan very quickly.
What can possibly go wrong?
Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other.
Love you.